But I got the noise. So.
You brought the funk?
I brought the funk.
And the lack of noise and the lack of funk.
And the lack of anything interesting to say.
Then let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
There you go. With a dramatic pause.
A dramatic William Shatner-like pause.
That's right. Some people say, what's the Shatner pause? That's just what we do in Canada. We have that pause because we've always got to check for polar bears.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle of almost any conversation, we have, hey, Dave, it's really nice outside and good to see you. It's just a safety thing. You can't finish a full sentence.
That's right.
Because polar bears will sneak up on you and kill you.
Popular Canadian expression. It's the polar bear pause that refreshes.
That's right. Yeah. Also, you might be going, what is that hammer of Thor that I hear in the background smashing on the walls? Well, as you may remember from a past episode, we went to the closing of RX Comics, which is in the same building that we do our show at Hell Kitty Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. They're putting a new comic shop in there, and they're doing it in a loud way. Big time loudness. Well, so
what's interesting to me is that there was already a comic book store there. They're opening a new comic book store, yet they've torn out all the fixtures of the original store and are...
To be honest, I don't want to speak ill of the dead shop.
But
when you see them take things out,
you
go, that was a good thing to take that out.
Mm.
Like, there's a lot of rotting things, and also there's a false floor, and you can take that away, and now you've got more space.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to have a false floor.
Really, there isn't. You're right.
Right. And throughout the day, they've been posting pictures of things that they've been taking out of that floor, one of them being a McDonald's cup that is red.
Yes. We haven't seen that since the 1990s,
I think. My gosh. If then, you know, I'm expecting them to find a McPizza pretty soon. And I think there was a little bit of McRibs. Well, the McRib does come back every so often.
Oh, does it? I heard that. It kind of comes back on people.
That's right. But the here's the thing about the McRib. A while ago...
of the McRib.
No, not in defense of the McRib, but the excitement of the McRib.
Oh. Okay.
I was in Germany. We were on a little book tour, me and my wife. And we were across from McDonald's, and there was quite the lineup because the McRib had shown up. And the Germans were very excited.
Very excited by that. Yeah. Well, I've seen pictures of other things that they sell there. They don't look so good. They don't look so good.
Right. Have you had a McRib?
I've never had a McRib because
you
think we've talked about it before.
You want to have the Big Mac because if you don't, you're going to miss the opportunity.
That's right.
And you add your Big Mac and and life goes by.
I'm a man.
And you're on your deathbed going, I could have had that one more Big Mac. And then, sweet regret.
I'll never think of it the other way either. I'll never think, oh man, I wish I had a McRib. Actually, I did have a McRib, to be honest with you.
Okay, very good. I was just thinking.
I was more adventurous when I was younger because I ate there more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't like now, going there and getting a Big Mac is a treat. But when I was a kid, you know, and I would often eat there, you know. It was more of a trick. Yeah, it was a trick on myself. Why did I get another Big Mac?
Yeah, the McRib sounds like a good idea. And I suppose if you're intoxicated, it really does sound like a good idea. It is not in any way a good idea. Yeah, no dice.
Yeah.
Before we get started, plugs away right now.
Please plug.
Next week, February 22nd is
my birthday.
Is that really your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
We said this last week, but I like that.
I know, but I like being surprised all the time. listen, I've got no memory. I've been sleeping very little. And so,
I understand.
You know, I've sent a lot of people the same voice messages over and over. I've sent scripts more than once to editors. And they go, yeah, we got this already. I was like, oh, that's good stuff. Oh, I need sleep. But I'm going to remind you, good people, in the expectation that maybe you've forgotten as well. But next week is the 5th anniversary of the Critical Hit Show, a live role-playing comedy show that I've been doing for 5 years, ironically. Not ironically, that makes sense. And we're doing it at the Rio Theater, as we always do, February 22nd. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And here's the other part that's going to be a lot of fun, is it's now an all-ages show.
That's
great.
Which
is about darn time.
Yes, because it is an all-ages show.
Yeah.
In the sense that it should be, like, kids would enjoy it.
We do swears.
Yeah,
we do some sexy jokes.
Yeah, but not like...
But we don't have our dicks out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't whip it out. You just make some double entendre, which, you know, kids either get or they don't get. It goes over their heads, or it doesn't.
And we've done all ages shows in the past in other venues, and it usually goes pretty well.
It's fine.
You know, there's things in the tavern that are I would say very sexual things.
Yeah.
And, you know, either, you know, but we leave the tavern then, and mm-hmm. we go and we fight monsters.
Sure.
And maybe you'll be one of the monsters. We bring people up to be the
yeah.
monsters.
Yeah.
And sometimes our characters die, as you do in role-playing games.
Eve and her friend got to play gelatinous cubes at the one, the cosplay one.
Because they're a couple of real squares.
They are a couple of, I wouldn't say that. They're more a couple of cubes.
Okay.
Ist. Paintings. I don't know. That was that pause again.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
We had to check for polar bears. Everything's fine, and we're back. Okay, there we go. Checking in on our contests that are going on right now.
Yes.
We have a hey, why don't you eat with us contest?
Yes.
And that's one where if you send us your name and you're in the Vancouver area, we might draw your name and we might take you to White Spot.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
Before we go on from that.
You're going to have a Big Mac
No. It's nothing bad. Nothing bad. You're going to have to have a Big Mac. One of our listeners got very excited and said, does this mean we get to watch the recording of the show?
Ah.
And I, yeah, okay.
Oh, sure. Okay, so we're going to have them watch
That's a twist recording. We hadn't thought of or mentioned or even considered.
I'm just really now.
But if you have that little to do
yeah.
with your life that you want to sit and watch us, you're really be sitting and watching us sit and talk into two microphones.
Right.
You are more than welcome to add that to the event.
Yeah, we may be able to work this out in a different way too. We may,
oh.
you know, if we're say maybe doing a live show or something too, okay. we could then bring them up for that and then go out for dinner with them afterwards or something. Okay. We can work something out. We'll okay. figure something out.
I don't think they want to be on the show. They just want to watch
no,
the
no,
show.
No, no, no. We're not going to let them talk.
No, no.
We're just going to say it's a live show.
Okay.
We'll bring them up.
Okay.
We'll have them sit next to us.
Oh.
In deathly silence.
Oh, wow. That's not
And occasionally look at them and maybe refer to them and just point out flaws and something along those lines.
You we'll are figure, making this.
Anyway,
you are making
long
this
story short,
more and more
we'll buy you a damn meal afterwards. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll watch us do the podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
And we never really specified what people were supposed to say
to indicate. Oh, to indicate?
That
How about,
they wanted.
I'll eat with you.
Okay.
There you go. That's it.
That do you just want them to email?
Yeah.
Text,
email or
text,
message
fax,
us.
Message, Facebook
yeah,
message,
Yeah, just put your name
tweet.
Into the mix, and at a future date, we'll
yeah.
go, we've got enough names, we'll take a draw.
This is a casual contest, man.
Yeah.
Okay,
this isn't one of those tight
yeah, yeah.
rules,
yeah, unlike
do a
our
math
usual, yeah.
problem,
unlike our usual
bullshit,
contest. Yeah.
Garbage crap.
Okay,
listen,
gotcha.
We're going to take it to White Spot. You can mm-hmm. have yourself an appetizer.
Okay.
You can have yourself a beverage, hot or cold. Mm-hmm. Don't have both. You can have yourself an entree, and you can have a dessert. The classy thing to do would be to pick the mini desserts, not the maxi desserts.
Why?
That's less money for us.
Just don't say that.
Yeah.
Have what you want. I think we established that last time.
Right.
When I tried to like
now you might want to
cheap
sit,
out.
Yeah, you might want to say this. You might like, well, I don't want to have a sundae or a chocolate cake, but I'd like a milkshake. Will that count as a dessert or does that take away from my beverage? Listen, we'll let you count a milkshake as a dessert because God only knows a milkshake is a dessert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a dessert.
Not a refreshing drink.
No, in no way, shape, or form. It in no way washes down the burger. If you just have a milkshake while you're eating your burger, who's fooling who? You know what? You're just,
yeah.
That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Nope.
But, you know, we've told you how we feel about the matter. If you're in, give us your name. And if you're going to be in the Vancouver area or are in the Vancouver area, we'll make it all happen.
So what you're saying is they could go to our Facebook page, Nikki Dragon.
Yeah.
And just message us there.
Yeah.
I'll eat with you.
Yeah, or you could just post it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
I'll eat
okay.
with you. Don't have to give us your private information.
Sure,
just
no,
give
no.
us your name.
Yep.
We'll contact you afterwards.
Yep.
Or go to our message board at sneakydragon.com or sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Email us there.
Yep.
Or tweet us at @sneaky_dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the above.
Yeah.
If you message us or whatever on Tumblr, we don't know how to access that shit. So don't be doing that.
You can. I think I will get.
Yeah,
but don't
be a jerk about it. Just do one of the other ways. Yes,
sure.
Technically you probably could fax us,
mm-hmm.
but don't. Like, just do the other ones and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
So that is contest number one. Contest number two, which isn't a contest, is we're asking you to let us know an experience you had of something that got away from you. Maybe it could be a job. It
yeah.
could be some time in your life that it could have gone one way, but it went another and what have you. And we'd like to hear your story. And Dave says that he will. I'm not saying anything because I can't do this. Dave will put music to that story.
Yeah. Well,
he will listen to your story and then he will put music underneath it.
We're going to make like a soundtrack to the, like a playlist, a story playlist, kind of like what I did with my story.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back that far.
Right.
That
so,
many shows.
So.
The past.
Now, we want the story to be about 2 minutes in length, not much longer than
that.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty good.
I think that's good, too. Yeah. Here's what we might be able to do at the end of all that.
Mm.
This is just, I'm talking crazy
okay.
right now.
Okay.
All right, now I'm just right off the beam. But here's the thing. If you do give us your story, maybe, and again, I'm talking out of my ass here right now. Let's just make it, like what I'm about to say is is batshit crazy.
Okay.
It is Trump press conference batshit crazy. Mm. But here's what I'm going to say.
Thanks,
I'm still going to say these words, even though I know as they come out of my mouth, I will regret them and want to pull them back.
Sure. Go ahead, Joe.
We take those stories.
Yep.
We make a mixtape out of them. And we just like have everyone's stories on a nice little mixtape. And then if you send us a story, we give you a mixtape with your story on it and other people's stories on
wow.
it.
Wow. Okay.
We send those out.
We'll see.
All right.
Let's see. We'll see so how many we get. We'll see how many we get.
That is my big talk.
Okay.
Big talk. sorry that I'm on a list thing right now. But there's one other thing, and it's a little bit of a sad thing, but just wanted to bring this up real quick, was we've had a former guest of the show pass away who was one of our few animal guests. And that was David M's dog has
yes, that's
passed
right.
away.
Yes, he did.
And that's Icky. Is his
no, dog? No. Ozzy.
Ozzy. I'm so sorry. Ozzy. Ozzy, if you listen to our last David M appearance, Ozzy tore the shit out of the office. And there's still tatters around where Ozzy has been.
Yes.
But he filled up the studio with a lot of love, and he's just a great dog.
Yeah,
he and, was a good dog. And if you want to listen to him, go back and listen to him, and you can hear him scampering around and doing all his dog business and just being a gosh darn dog. Good for him.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, he was. You know what? He's a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's all give him a good boy. And I'm sorry to David for loss of your little friend there. You know, it's always hard. They make your heart bigger, and then they give you a hole in the heart, and it's like ah, gosh darn it, but. Lucky to have the time we have with him. And I'm glad that you got to be on the show. We haven't had a lot of dogs on the show.
We have not. We have not. And Norwin is with as much personality as Ozzy.
Absolutely.
He was a fun guy.
Okay, so one more time. Good boy. How you doing, Dave? What's up?
Good.
What's up in Dave land?
Well, I just want to announce to the general public, the people out there in podcast land, that winter's over here.
Yep.
11 degrees out
forever.
Today. 11 degrees out.
Yep.
But of course, we've had like an incredible amount of rain, which has helped wash away all the snow that was most of the snow. We still have kind of a piles of snow around.
If you decided to build a snowman, it looks like the final scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
It is like a melting Nazi in your backyard.
That's part of the snowman experience.
Yeah.
But
actually,
it's nice.
What would be nice is if you had like a little Ark of the Covenant and you put it in front of your snowman and have him looking down into it and it just melts slowly. That'd be a nice slow mo way of doing that.
Someone said to me at work yesterday in kind of an accusatory tone, it was pouring rain out, and they said, this is your kind of day, isn't it, Dave? I was like, yes, it is. This is my kind of
day. It's a
dreary,
drizzly Dave Dedrick
day. That's what I like. I like a dreary day. It actually makes me feel sent like a nostalgia. I don't know why, but I think because I stayed late at school a lot when I went to, especially at high school, I would stay late quite a bit. So my memory of walking home from school is walking home in the evening, you know, as the sun was setting, and then it was. But I love this gray, dark, wet days just walking home from school. And I don't know why.
It smells good.
And it kind of evokes like the feeling of like Charlie Brown, like the Peanuts for me too. Like that's that kind of feeling of that sort of pleasant depression, not a bad. I want to throw myself off a bridge depression, but just sort of a sort of wistful feeling, which I actually kind of enjoy that.
Yeah,
feeling.
That's a tough. Okay, I'm trying to think of a way of describing it. I want to do a side thing though, sidebar here, and just go. Unlike a lot of other places in the world, when it rains here, I like it too because you know you're going to get some payoff and everything's going to be green and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Whereas if say you lived in New York, it's raining. Who fucking cares? It's going to look the same tomorrow. You're not going to get any payoff.
Well, there's a bit of a payoff here too. I mean,
that's what I mean. There's payoff.
I have worked downtown. Through summer months when it wasn't raining out, and it gets rather rank.
Mm.
And so when the rains come, and I imagine the same in New York, if it rains there, it does help wash away
some
of the...
Taxi driver did say that. There, rain will come and it will clear the scum off the street. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
But here's something that, you know, we talk sometimes about, you know, like you go to a horror movie and you enjoy being scared, and it's the good kind of scared, and you feel good afterwards, right?
That's right.
And I think there's also the good kind of, it's hard to say depressed, I'm not talking about like clinical depression.
That's right, I'm not.
But there's a good kind of melancholy sometimes.
That's right.
If you can get in that headspace, it just feels kind of nice. And it's yeah. it is the Peanuts. Do, 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 do. Or the rain and the gray, and you just walk and you mm-hmm. smell the leaves as you're, sure. you know, that's a nice it's a nice feeling, even though you are technically maybe a little wistful
yeah.
or remembrance of things past. And I don't know if we talk to kids in school about that, about like, you know, hey, here's on the emotional thing. This is
emotional. This is fine too. Yeah.
This is totally fine to feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes.
Are you feeling down? Well, we got to cure that. No. Sometimes it's okay to.
Yeah. Sometimes it's.
If it goes too far.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, you know, as adults we forget is, you know, that there were times when you were a kid that you were sad. And you didn't go to your parents and say, I'm sad. You just felt sad. Whether it was because your friends were mean to you that day, or you just felt, you just had kind of a bad day and you just kind of.
Or you saw something sad. You saw a dead bird.
Or yeah, you saw something sad.
Or no reason.
Yeah.
You just happened to feel that way, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Or you were bored and you had a boring, you know, and it was just a really dull thing that you were doing and it was mm-hmm. boring.
School
and
that's fine. A bummer. Yeah.
School can be boring, or visiting your mom and dad's aunt and uncle who you don't know and you're just there.
Yeah,
and you're in a chair.
Existing in the late 70s.
They don't have toys.
Yeah.
They don't, you know what I mean? Like that kind of feeling.
I mean, here's the thing about the late 70s. Yes, there was Star Wars, but that just took an hour and a half. And then you had the rest of the late 70s to deal with.
But I love that time period because I do love that feeling of quietness. And that's what I remember fondly now.
Unfinished basements.
I guess we did when I was very young have an unfinished basement. And I guess we always did have it. And we had a mostly finished basement. Mm-hmm. The laundry room and my dad's work room were unfinished. But the rest of the basement was finished.
I'm just picturing Beethoven like yeah. writing an unfinished symphony in an mm-hmm. unfinished basement.
I gotta finish both of these.
I'm gonna finish the basement first, then I'll deal with this later. Oh, and he never did.
That's right.
But he did. The basement looked great. He had a dartboard up. Mm-hmm. It was pretty badass. He'd been like sure. bar. Yeah. It was really cool.
He made all this noise doing it.
Foosball table.
Why is he being so noisy? He can't even hear it.
That's right.
He's fine. It's
done.
Done.
Done. Done. That's what he said when he was over.
Always. So this time of year is, you know, we're kind of coming out of my favorite time of the year into a time of the year I still like. I mean, spring is a great time of year, but. Mm-hmm.
Now that we've got a house, we can plant stuff, which we mm-hmm. could never do before.
Sure.
That's nice. The idea that you plant some stuff and then later there's food.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. I like that. You know, that's, great. Used to be put some herbs up and that's it. And hopefully a squirrel doesn't grab it and chuck it off your balcony, which is normally what would happen.
Yeah.
Just really mean fucking squirrels.
Mean squirrel.
Fuck that. Take your basil and go to hell. It's like, why do you care? Squirrel, why do you care? You're not even burying nuts in there.
You're just
being an asshole.
Yeah.
They hate flavor.
They don't. Well, it's.
They hate Italian.
They
food.
Can't taste it. So they're mad about it. It's just jealousy.
Are you saying squirrels can't taste things?
Squirrels can't taste things. They can't taste herbs. It's meaningless to them.
Okay.
Then they'll go, you know, this nut needs a little basil. They don't say that. So they're just mad at you for growing this stuff.
They don't seem to mind salted nuts. You leave some of those out, a squirrel.
I'm sure they're,
can.
You know what? I bet they don't even
but
care about the
their
salted.
Blood pressure doesn't go up.
Their blood pressure went up because they're like, what the hell is this on my
I would
penis?
Think like a squirrel would have high blood pressure because it's a very tense life being a squirrel. You're always like, ugh, you know, checking stuff out and like really edgy.
My advice
squirrels
is,
don't relax.
Yeah, my advice is to run in front of cars less. That would take a lot of the edge off. Although, to be fair to squirrels, a lot of them are like driven to run across the road by crows. Do you know crows do that? They'll purposefully scare squirrels across the road.
Crows are clever. You're waiting until they do that to people.
Crows are clever and evil. I don't want to say evil.
Well, they eat them though, so it's food.
No, I don't.
You're right. They will.
I was describing some sort of moral code to crows.
They will just do it to be dicks. Yeah. They will just do it for giggles.
Is that right? For kids?
Yeah. For a fun time.
That is a little dickish.
Yeah, I remember when someone said, and it seems like one of those things you see on QI that they go wrong, but it said the Wolverine is the only animal that hunts for pleasure.
Polar bear as well.
Okay, but. How do you know? How do you know it's enjoying itself? Like, do you check with the Wolverine afterwards and go like, yeah, he's digging that. He's enjoying it.
I guess, well.
And maybe, how do you know the other animals
aren't? I shouldn't say that. Maybe polar bears, I see what they're saying now. Wolverines will hunt, kill something just for the hell of it, and then not eat it all. Although, minks do that too. Like, if a mink breaks into like a chicken coop, all the chickens are gone. They're all dead, but they're not all eaten. They're just all killed.
But where does pleasure enter into it there? Because that's what I heard. Like it hunts and kills for pleasure.
Well, I guess,
and that seems weird to like throw that onto an animal. Maybe it's got another reason. It's just like, oh, it's territorial. Mm. It just wants to, you know, anything that passes for safety, it'll kill.
Yeah.
But they're like, no. This thing, it digs doing it. Like, what's is it wagging its tail? Is it bragging to its friends? Is it writing a letter to to Wolverine Penthouse? You know, I never thought this would happen to me.
I saw a squirrel 34 or 26, whatever the measurements were that were
for a squirrel.
Yeah, I don't know. I was making.
I'd like to see.
I was meant millimeters. Yeah. I was speaking millimeters.
Okay.
I don't know, made that clear. Did I say I was using the metric system when I was writing my letter?
No, I'm just trying to think what a squirrel's measurements would be. Are we counting the tail? Do we count the bushiness of the tail?
No, it would be the plumpness of their front.
I feel uncomfortable right now.
They're rough.
Yeah.
The plumpness of their rough.
I feel bad. I don't want this to go on.
The thinness of their waist.
Really regretting it. And then, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
And the circumference of their haunches.
Okay. Do you measure their nuts?
Privately.
Okay. Let's get off this subject and talk about something different real quick. I have supplied you with an item at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah.
I just noticed it was there. Now, those of you that that listen to our show know sometimes we get Dave to taste something he has not tasted before. You know, just because it's fun to have Dave taste something.
Okay.
And Dave has an affinity for many things. Turkish Delight.
Yep. It's delightful.
Big Macs, and that's it, that's at the McDonald's.
Yeah.
He also enjoys a Slurpee.
Sure do.
At a 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you like the Slurpee knockoffs at the various other...
No, okay. I'll eat.
Yeah, why would you? Why would you waste your life?
Yeah.
You're right. No, you're right. And you also like...
Here's the thing.
Yeah?
They're okay. Just, you know, as long as they're not from the States. That's the worst place to get Slurpee.
Yeah, States don't know how to do a Slurpee.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's terrible. It's too carbonated.
Listen, I'm going to say, for all that we badmouth Trump on the show, if you can get that Slurpee shit under control...
Trump's a hero.
You'll get me backing you up. Obama couldn't do it. Bush couldn't do it. Clinton couldn't
do
it.
No one.
No one's been able to fix that Slurpee nonsense.
The Slurpee.
Just come on up here. We'll give you our Slurpee technology. Take it down there.
I don't know why it's different in Canada, right? It's 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Maybe we got better ice.
Better ice. That's right.
Because they got to get ice that they can deliver to all the hot areas.
Just to go back to our previous topic briefly, squirrels wouldn't like this.
What's that?
Peanut free. Right in the bag.
So the item I've got here, like the other thing Dave likes is he likes a sour candy.
Mm-hmm.
He likes a nice sour candy. So what I presented
I'm
going to
open this up. Sure, I'll just take it away from the microphone.
Slurpee sour candies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the flavors sound like good ideas. Some of the flavors sound like terrible ideas.
So what are the flavors here? Apple?
That's like terrible. Though I can see why it would be sour. That I can see as a sour thing.
Okay,
continue.
I can honestly say there's only two flavors on here that
get. No shit, right? Go through the flavors.
Banana. The worst.
Bullshit.
The worst Slurpee flavor.
Yeah. Oh, you know, who's ever gone like, oh, I could go for a real sour banana? No one. That's not a thing that bananas are. Lemons are sour. Limes are sour. Yeah. Apples can be sour. Many other things can be sour. A cherry can be sour. Mm-hmm. But you cannot have a sour banana. You just made that shit up. And also, who gets a banana Slurpee?
It's terrible because, okay, like if you are one of those weird people, and I'm not one, who likes to multi-layer... You know, with four or five different flavors, your Slurpee.
I might be one of those people.
Okay. But you don't end up with anything good at the end of it. It's just a mess.
You got to do it right.
But if you do the banana in there, forget about it. The banana is overwhelming.
And it's like, what are you, a smoothie?
It's like putting grapefruit in a fruit salad.
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
It's a nightmare. All right, continue.
The next one's bubble gum.
Bullshit.
I wouldn't
sour give that. Bubble gum. Seriously. No, honestly. Have you ever seen that in a store? Give me some of that sour bubble gum.
I think I have, actually.
Sour bubble gum flavor.
I think that's a new thing. Right. So I saw some gum. Oh, yeah. I saw some gum the other day that was Sour Patch Kids flavored gum.
Mm.
So there you go.
Okay.
Next one, cherry. Once again, I would not get cherry myself.
You would not get a cherry Slurpee? No. Oh, I love cherry Slurpee.
Here's mine. Cola.
Okay.
I like cola. And then cream
soda.
But
again, sour cola.
Yeah.
That old flavor that everyone likes so much. Give me one of them sour Pepsis, everybody, they say. That's not a thing. There are many sour flavors, and you've got to like go into that. And what was the final one?
Cream soda, which is basically vanilla flavored.
So again, that's bullshit. Sour cream soda. Sour cream soda. That's not a thing at all either. All right.
I just want to point out you bought this.
I did. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to, without looking, reach into the bag, take one out. I'll do one too.
Banana roulette.
I know, it's so scary. Don't look.
I'm not.
And put it near your yapper.
Okay.
All right, and I'm going to put one in my mouth.
Well, they're big too.
Mm. Okay. Well, this is a bad sound for a podcast. I really planned this wrong. Do you have any idea what flavor you're eating? I saw the color going in.
It might be cherry.
It was green.
Oh, okay. I guess it's apple then.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've got cream soda.
Hmm. What color? Oh, I didn't see it.
I could open my mouth. I'm pretty sure I got cream soda. It's not sour.
Oh.
Is yours sour?
It had like the sour coating on it, but the...
No, it's got to be painfully sour. That's what you got to have. You got to have that. Oh, that's the point.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not a sour.
Okay. Well.
You going to do one more time?
Yeah, okay. Okay, one more
eyes closed?
Okay. All right, but you take a look at the color so you identify it.
Okay, put it back in.
Put it back in?
Yeah. Or put it down. Choose a different one.
Because it's the same one? Okay. These two are stuck together.
Okay.
All right, I got this one.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
You may like this one.
Is it apple?
No, it's
not. I've got no idea. What flavor
is
it?
I took away the apple from you.
What is it?
It's red, so I'm assuming that it's...
This is cherry?
Maybe it's cherry.
What's wrong with this world?
Okay, here
go ahead. Try
it.
There
you go.
All right, you try, and I'll take a look at the color. Put it down. Okay. Looks like it's the same. All right, back in.
Okay.
Okay, and up you go. Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
I think you'll be happy with this one.
Oh, cola.
Yeah.
That was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cola. It's like the gummy cola bottles, like the the Coke bottles you get from
So how
Haribo.
Is a sour cola taste?
Well, once again, it's not... The sourness isn't in the candy. It's in the coating on it.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get that out of the way, it's just a regular... Coke bottle.
Okay.
Candy.
I'll put these off to the side for later then. So we've done it. It has the review I have is those flavors aren't right.
No.
Where's not
grape?
At all.
Where's grape?
Sour grapes.
That'd be good.
Yeah, you're complaining about it.
That's right.
You're literally complaining there aren't enough sour grapes in there. Come on, guys.
Because my favorite Slurpee is the double layered Coke with grape.
Well, then you're a layerer.
I am a layerer. This is not a multi-layer. I just don't like that many layers.
It
gets too mixed up.
I'm a two-layer as well. I'm a cherry and a cola.
There you go. Because you like cherry cola.
I do.
So basically you get what you really like once they start to mingle.
Absolutely. So everything's worked out. And there we go. Real quick.
I also like Coke and lime.
Coke and lime is very nice.
Yeah.
I also like a cherry lime. There we go. sorry, going quickly back to Big Macs. Really fast. And then we'll get back to...
Man, I'm going to make a bingo card for the show. So
we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
They have now, in Canada at least, started putting bacon on a Big Mac.
Yeah, not a Big Mac.
Oh, okay. Well, that's their ad campaign.
Yes.
But my question is that a bad idea?
Well, it's never a bad idea to try new things, I suppose. But it's not a Big Mac. Like, it's not a Big Mac. It's a bacon Big Mac, I guess. What I'm more interested in now is they're introducing three different sizes of Big Macs.
That's right.
They have the Mini Mac.
Right.
Which you can get now anyway. You can get a McDouble as a Big Mac. Like, you could ask them to Big Mac your McDouble, and they will add the special sauce to it.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't get the extra little bun.
Interesting.
Which I do. I like that little bun part, though. That's part of what I like
about
it. But and then they have the regular Big Mac, and then they're gonna have a bigger Big Mac.
I have tried the bigger Big Mac.
Okay, what do you think?
I thought it was too much Big Mac.
Okay, now was this the double patty one?
No.
Okay, just a bigger Big Mac.
Yeah, they have it in... I keep saying other countries I've been in. We were in France recently.
Oh, Lottie fucking...
I ordered the wrong Big Mac.
Oh.
Because I did not know the language.
Yes.
And I ended up with a much larger Big Mac than I expected.
Yes.
And it was too much Big Mac. You get like about 3/4 of the way through and just go, I regret this.
You asked for a Big Mac Royale and they give you a Whopper.
Mm-hmm. So I would say it's too much Big Mac for me. May not be too much Big Mac for you.
Yeah.
I'm like a big burger.
Well, here's the thing, though, is if they had it that big, but with the same amount of secret sauce or special sauce, whatever it's called, as the normal one, then it would just... Because really, it's the sauce.
Yeah.
Basically, Thousand Islands dressing.
It.
And the extra little bun that I really like. And the pickles. Those are the things that make a McDonald's hamburger for me.
And even as a kid, if you were a disliker of onions, you did not mind these onions because they were so small.
Yeah.
So very small.
I'm not a picky eater.
Are you not?
No.
Okay, very good.
I mean, there's things I don't like.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's not like food that I won't eat because it's taste like, or it feels weird in my mouth or something like that.
Oh, okay. All right. You don't have that mouth sensation.
Yeah, like the super taster or whatever people make up
yeah.
to excuse the fact they don't like broccoli.
Speaking of food, without saying exactly what I'm doing this weekend, but guest of the show, Vicky Ban and Barbara, I don't know what her name is now, because she changes it all the time. But once upon a time, Barbara Beal.
Yes.
From Critical Hit Show. We're working on a little TV pilot this weekend that involves cooking.
Oh, nice.
And apparently, I'm the cameraman now. That is the way that's all broken down. So yeah,
good. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm really job. I'm really quite nervous about it because this is a genre I've never worked in before. Vicky's worked a little bit in it, but not with cooking. She did a raw show. The chef just prepared raw dishes. So,
You know, it's not really a chef then. It's just someone who's cutting food up.
That is completely incorrect. Completely incorrect.
I don't know.
Yeah, completely incorrect. So yeah, a little bit nervous about that, but I will let you know next week if it went well or went terribly badly. And if we put it up somewhere, I will also let nice folks here know.
Nice of you.
Well, you know, I like to keep people informed. All right. As we always do, we do the leg wound check-in about this time of the show. How's your leg wound?
Good. You know, but it's funny. The wound I got in, well, here's two dumb things. One is, my wife, who loves me, and so
thank God.
I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad at her.
No, but that sounded like a terrible. Here's two dumb things. Okay. My wife.
No. Yeah. Okay. I love my wife, but she made me go to the hospital. Made me go to the emergency.
Yes.
Now, but because it was I should have said I banged my leg on a table. I wish I'd known this beforehand. Here's the thing: if you guys are going in, this is for people who live in Canada. If you are going to the hospital to have them look. And you don't want to go through all the trouble of like work safe or whatever the equivalent work related, you know, insurer is. Pretend that you got hurt at home. Don't say you did it at work. Because what happened is, I said I did it at work. So it's not covered under MSP. It's covered, which is our insurance.
Yeah.
Our healthcare insurance. It's covered under work safe. Mm. So now I have to make a work safe claim in order for them to pay for the hospital visit.
Now, in the meantime, which are you on costs, the hook for it?
I'm on the hook for $335.
Okay.
Until I make this claim.
Okay.
Which, you know, if I had said I banged my leg on a table at home, I wouldn't be on the hook for it. And I told them at the hospital that I didn't want to make it as a work thing. They said, well, it happened at work, so you have to. I should have just got up then and left.
No, you shouldn't have. That would have been ridiculous.
No,
first of all, you waited way too long to do it. So you definitely should have been there. Even if you're $300 out of pocket, good for you. It's worthwhile because, you know, you're not going to get an infection and die. But okay, so tell me why that's bad, the work safe thing.
Oh, it's just a level of extra things I have to do. I just don't want it.
What do you have to?
I have to phone and explain what happened and get a claim number.
But you did hurt yourself at work.
I don't want to deal with that. I just don't want to. I have to phone someone and like phone a hotline or whatever, dial a claim line and talk to some person. I walked into something at work.
Yeah, you did. This is what it's for. This is absolutely what it's for. Work safe. Something unsafe happened at work and you got a bad leg wound that you were dealing with for weeks.
Yeah, but come on. It's coming out of the same thing, really. We all pay our taxes.
Okay.
It goes into a big pot.
Okay.
That the government pays itself out of and then gives us a drip, you know, small dribble of money.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that small dribble of money is our healthcare system.
Okay.
And in both cases, it's coming out one way or the other. It's coming out of our pocket, whether it's coming out of MSP or it's coming out of WorkSafe.
Do you think it makes sense, though, to I pay into WorkSafe. So basically, if you hurt yourself during this show.
Oh!
There you go. Well, fill it out with me, brother, because that's why I pay WorkSafe.
Yeah.
Or someone falls down the stairs delivering a package, or like you're nicely bringing a sign up the stairs for me. If you fell, you could be covered under WorkSafe. Mm. So is there part of WorkSafe that like makes notes of like, oh, there's a lot of people getting hurt in this workplace.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a word with them. So
yeah, actually at work, one of the fellows was making a claim on his elbow for tendonitis. He had developed tendonitis or a tennis elbow.
Yep.
And so,
which sounds like a rich person's disease.
Tennis elbow?
Yep.
It does.
Doesn't sound good anymore.
But I got my tennis elbow a long, long time ago when I worked on the fishing boat for the summer. Just because it's a repetitive strain injury, basically. And because I was repetitively putting my hand in this weird sideways motion, throwing the guts over the edge of the boat, and I did it hundreds of times a day, I wrecked my elbow. So when I got home, I had a really sore elbow. And it's been a recurring issue ever since. Also, the knee I hurt fishing also is still a recurring problem. Stupid knee. But
you claimed that on
no.
the equivalent of WorkSafe. Nothing.
No.
You just like just ate that one?
I just ate it.
Okay.
So
by the way, if you were to call your elbow something though,
yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have fisherman's elbow than tennis elbow? Just sounds cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I like tennis.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a good sport.
Okay. But okay. All right, go ahead.
So then so they actually sent a guy and he watched this fellow at work go through his day to see what he did during his day, to see if there was a safer way to do it or what the, you know, if it was dangerous or why he would develop this problem over time. And I mean, we do a lot of heavy lifting, so I mean, it's kind of probably an inevitable result of working there. But his claim was honored, so I guess, you know. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you're working in a place, accidents will happen, I guess. I mean, less to us than to someone working like at a green chain in a lumber mill or something, but yeah.
But I mean, you know, I think about your old stories from your last place where you're doing this amazing climb and these super dangerous things and what have you. And I wouldn't mind a work safe guy coming by and going, hey, stop
with that.
Knock it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that stuff is more like the enthusiasm of the moment where you're like, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when like when I used to hay at the farm.
Yeah.
You know, I would be up on a hay wagon, which is around 5 feet tall, just, you know, from the ground to the height of the platform of the, you know, and then you're stacking the hay up, and the hay up, you know, a bale of hay is around maybe a foot and a half to 2 feet tall.
Sure.
And then you've got it 7 feet, 8 feet high, you know, as you go around the field. And you don't really realize that you're like, suddenly you're over 20 feet in the air until you look down.
Yeah.
You're like, holy crap, this is really high up. But you're so in the moment because you're just working. You're not looking.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it's not until you take a pause and you look around and you go, this is really high.
But also, just even if you are sort of aware, if you're doing that for hours and hours a day, you're going to zone out at some point. So at some point, it's going to go a little bit. Day in, day out?
Day in, day out, maybe. But I think, you know, to be honest, I think if you do a job that has elements of risk to it.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, accidents can happen or forgetfulness can happen. But mostly you develop in your mind a checklist of steps, you know, that you do. Like when I'm cutting wood, for instance, at work, there's this checklist of things I do as I work to make sure that I'm safe before I cut the wood. You know, I always make sure the extension cord is out of the way. I always make sure that my hands are out of the way, blah, 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 right? So I go through these little steps so that I'm not looking at my thumb on the ground.
Yeah, shaking hands with danger.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, whereas the haying, I mean, you're doing it on your family farm or your wife's family farm. And
yeah,
so
that's a bit of a different
situation. That's a bit of a different thing. But
just in general, like, you know, I have friend Mike Skog from high school, and he works on commercial fishing boats to supplement his income, to actually give him income while he writes poetry and does things. And if you sit down over more than one drink, he will tell you about the people who have died on those boats.
Oh, yes,
and he has got stories for days. And I'm sure all of those guys, you know, seemed like they knew what they were doing the day that it happened.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get a little sloppy and there you are. And that's why you got to have, I think, things like...
Or there's carelessness. I mean, there were times, like when we were working, when the lines were out and we were in an area and we were fishing that area, you know, we put up chains along the edge of the boat and stuff like that, act as like a guardrail. And, you know, and it wasn't going super fast. So, you know, as long as you were careful. But, you know, if we moved, then if we had to like pick lines and move away to some other fishing area, all those guardrails came down and there was nothing between you and the water.
Yeah.
And I remember being on the deck at night and I was finishing up gutting the fish and the skipper is just like, well, let's just get going. And we're just like zooming through the water and it was scary. Like there's nothing between you and the water.
Yeah.
And if you fall in, that's it. It was nighttime as well. So there's just no way. If I had fallen in the water, I would have been dead. And so I was basically like hanging on to the trough.
Literally for life,
cleaning these fish.
Ugh.
And let me say, I did the worst job in the world because I just wanted to get done. Like, let's get it out of the way. And it was scary. Like, I think I don't even know if I finished. I think I went in and said, that's enough. I'm not going to do this. It's crazy.
Good.
And the other deckhand went out and did it. But why would he want to go do it? Anyway, like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go ahead and show me.
I guess I'm picturing like, okay, when you're saying the sort of dangerous things at work, and I'm like, you, I think as a mature adult can go like, I choose to do this and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. But then there's two things I'm thinking of. One, what if it was, late teens Dave Dedrick who was doing this?
Yeah.
And this is the guy who likes jumping through houses and daredevil shit and likes hanging off a bridge and doing some stuff just reckless. Because you got that young thrill fucking thing and you're bored at work. And so you want to like take it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take the unnecessary risk. So I look at that and I go like, it's nice to have someone going, hey, none of that.
Because,
you know, you're.
Well, I still climb up the shelves and stuff like that to grab things down.
Right.
So.
But you're not that same level of as you were when you were younger,
no,
are you?
I'm worse now because I'm not as agile as I was when I was younger.
Okay. But then I also look at, you know, there's someone else who, when you're done with this job, the job will remain and someone else will come in.
Oh, no, I think they'll close the place down once I go. They can't carry on without me.
Dave Dedrick Memorial Park, they'll call it. Because by that point, we won't have garages because we won't need roads. We'll be in the future. There's no need for roads.
Yeah.
All the cars will fold up Jetson style and just become a briefcase.
Yeah.
Da, da, ba, da, ba, 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 da, ba, ba, da, boo.
It's so much more convenient to carry your car around than just park it and leave it.
Yeah, and then it's still the same weight. So painful.
He left his arm behind.
Yeah. The other nice thing is you put that behind your desk and it accidentally unfolds and crushes you to death. Good job, future. But I'm picturing,
where's work safe then?
The guy who's coming in after you, and maybe you like taking a few risks. Maybe you're like, a little loosey-goosey.
Sure.
Doo-ba-doo. But then this guy's coming in, and he's young dad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to take those risks. Yeah. But, you know, but hey, this is the way
steps.
We've always done it.
Well, no, but there's steps for him.
Yeah.
There's rolling stairs and things. I just choose not to use them.
Okay.
Because that's boring. And you have to move them. So you got to move them around, pass a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
When you could just clamber up a shelf and quickly grab a box.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. While you're coloring the comic book that you're coloring, don't get colorers' fingers. I don't know. That's all I can say. Stay safe.
You should have said, don't get cholera.
That's right. Just don't get permanently injured dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want that. You know,
no.
Go get injured in France doing something really exciting and fun.
Uh-huh.
You know,
like in World War I.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
go take Vimy Ridge again. Go fight all those World War I battles one more time.
One more time. The Somme.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah,
you were?
No, you can just say that. You can say, I was there.
I was there.
And like you just, all these battles,
whenever
they mention them and on you know, Remembrance Day, you can go,
sure.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah, been there.
Done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was me too.
My reenactment of Dieppe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dieppe, dip, 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 dip. And so on. I had something to talk to you about.
Okay.
All right.
You sound serious.
No, I'm not. Well, there's a little seriousness to it.
Okay.
There's a tinge. I don't want to enter into it too lightly.
Okay.
But it is a comedy related question.
Okay. Sounded so serious.
It is a bit serious.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So
ask me the question.
So Stuart McLean passed away this week.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the host of the Vinyl Cafe?
Yes.
And
long time host.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you listen to the Vinyl Cafe?
I read it. I really did. I liked it a lot.
Okay. I've never really listened to it.
Okay.
But I've got a friend who, on a radio show that I do, does a Stuart McLean impression. And so he...
Carry on.
What's that?
Carry on.
All right. What's that? Are you making a reference to something?
Carry on with your impression.
Okay. I don't do the impression.
I know. I'm just saying. Very good person.
I do impressions of all the Carry On gang, though.
Oh, let's hear them.
Hello! Look at them tits!
Oh, that's very good.
So on and so forth. That was from Carry On Caesar.
That's all very good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ooh, look at them tits. Ooh, you're stabbing me, you is. Oh, no, good Brutus.
Good Sir James, sir.
Et tu, Brute. Oh, look at them tits. And so on.
That's the only name I know. I can only think of Sid James. Who else was there?
There was the woman with the tits.
The woman with the tits.
Some older woman.
There's an older woman.
Another lecherous guy.
Lecherous guy.
So on and so forth.
But there was no Frankie Howard in Carry On, I don't believe.
Wasn't there?
Who is the pinched face guy? Like the really kind of, he would play like the head doctor.
Oh, you know? This is a good question.
Oh, I can't think of the names. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Were you a fan of those films? I mean, we saw them. They were on TV a lot when we were growing up.
I was a fan of the nudity.
The nudity was all right.
Yep. That was it. That was about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like Benny Hill.
I'm fine. There was other things. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other things to watch,
sure.
You know, that were better.
About me for a while until I think of that name.
But this person I know, he's
Hattie
regularly.
Hattie good. Something. That was the older lady.
Oh my lord! Okay, sorry. If you were going to go through all the Carry On stuff,
no, go please. On, go on.
But he did an impression of Stuart McLean. It was a regular kind of impression.
Sure.
We were actually writing something for the future, and we went, okay, of course we can't. And he's pulled the impressions from the past episodes that are like online.
Really?
Right now. Yeah.
Was it a mean impression?
I don't know. No, it's not. That's the thing.
I mean, it's an affectionate.
Here comes my question to you.
Sure.
If you're someone who does an impression of a celebrity, said celebrity passes away, not Von Meter style, you know, where he was famous for doing John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy died. Lenny Bruce said John F. Meter is fucked that night. And it was, and that was the end of his career. I get that.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, if you're, you know, say Christopher Walken passes away.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you then stop doing Christopher Walken now out of respect? Or do you pull a Rich Little and you just keep it in the damn act forever and you do everyone until eventually almost everyone you're doing has passed away? Except for Kirk Douglas, by the way, turned 100 this week. So if you were practicing a Kirk Douglas impression at any point in your life, you bet on the right horse.
There you go.
Still so valid.
Joe Flaherty is laughing.
That's right.
He did a great Kirk Douglas.
Yep. Good job, Frank Gorshin. Sorry that he outlasted you, though.
No, I don't. I don't think it's.
And yeah. If so, how much time should pass? Well, now before?
Okay, that's the question. Before you start doing it again, or before?
Yeah.
No time at all.
Interesting.
You can just keep doing it because if it's an affectionate thing, I mean,
and,
of course,
and I
it's
believe a, it generally was. There's a little yeah. rib pulling. Yeah. In this case of like, you know, he's a long,
folksy,
kind of
yeah,
folksy storyteller.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you put him doing something that he mm-hmm. wouldn't be doing. That's mm-hmm. what you do.
Yeah.
That's the gag.
Yeah.
That legit. And
yeah, that's
it's not. I agree.
It's not disrespectful. Why would you pull it? I mean, and here's the other thing.
You're going to get a moan from the audience when you first do it. There'll be maybe a little
it's
bit
It's not
of
a moan.
But you might get a little bit, oh. But listen, if you commit to it and you've got something to say,
yeah.
then you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
And that's the same thing with almost any comedy, by the way.
Yeah.
Any comedians that when you hear the moan,
that's
go,
right.
what? Fuck yeah. off. Like, yeah. Just do yeah. your bit.
Do
your it.
Bit.
You
yeah.
started it. Do yeah. it. And now, and if you and if this will throw you off, then you weren't committed to this bit, so fuck you.
Yeah.
Keep going.
You're right. Yeah. I think if you're committed to it and if it has value, then, you know, it's good. If it doesn't have value and it's bad, it will have its own, it'll die its own natural death. Whether he's alive or not, it's
yeah.
going to, if it's crummy, it's going to stop. Yeah, it seems ridiculous to me. I mean, obviously the counter to that is also ridiculous. Someone like Rich Little still doing John Wayne, still doing, you know, pulling out all, I mean, who, I mean, obviously his audience
yeah, you
knows
want to
these
see
people.
Rich Little, you want to see him do Nixon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like his audience.
You want to see how dark yeah. his hair is gone.
Yeah. My
his hair, by the way, I've seen his hair.
Yeah.
It'll suck your soul in, brother. It's so black.
Is that right?
Yeah. I didn't
it's darker now than it was when he was younger.
Infinitely.
Yeah.
Infinitely. He's yeah. he's found different shades of black. That 50 shades of gray, you know, that it's gone.
I hate that. I hate that more than anything. Is some
the pitch black thing?
Well, just the really dyed hair.
I know it's tough. I am eventually going to dye my hair again, and it's such
yeah.
a trick to find it just fucking right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you do it, then you got to like hide for a week because then it gets normal and it's but if you're on camera, then you really have to have it a little darker but then it goes too. It's a fucking nightmare. Long story short,
but if you're going
to
do it,
I'm trying to brag that I did an award show with Rich Little. Do we get that out there? Good. Okay, I did an award show with Rich Little. Please continue.
What was that?
I did an award show with Rich Little. And a naked lady in the same show.
Oh, you did a show with a naked lady?
Yeah. She was Miss Nude Canada.
Nice. Nice.
And bless her heart.
Yeah.
She was a little rough and tumble.
She was a little rough and tumble.
She was a little. If you saw her as a Valkyrie, you would not go, that's wrong.
Is that right?
She would be fine.
Is that what you mean by
punching someone out?
Is that
she
right?
She would be good in a bar fight.
Huh.
She was rough and tumble.
Wow. Yep. Interesting.
Yep. She was Miss Nude Canada.
Well, I think if you're going to hold that position, you have to be able to defend it.
Yeah. I think it is a fighting.
Yeah.
It's a mixed martial arts
exactly.
situation. Anyway.
Two naked women battling. Wow. Suddenly I'm really interested in this Miss Nude Canada thing.
By the way, if you're ever talking to Rich Little,
mm-hmm.
ask about the past.
Oh, he's happy to talk about it?
That's what you ask about. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean...
Don't ask about now.
Who...
Don't
yeah.
ask about the future.
When has he done A Christmas Carol recently?
Oh, fuck. That was so good, though.
It was good.
Why do you have to do a second one? You're so good.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was great.
But please continue.
When you're a kid, it's great. No, I think that's fine. And let me just say something about Stuart MacLean, because I was a fan of that show. I stopped listening to it, because I basically stopped listening to all radio, all CBC radio. For some reason, when I was a young man... And the girls were young, and I was at home a lot with them. Something, when you're at home with your children, love them as you do, with all your heart. You need an adult voice in your life, because all it is just kids. And so you start listening to talk radio. You can't help yourself.
Okay.
I never listened to talk radio until I had daughters, or until I had children, because then I wanted to hear adults talking, because suddenly I was not with adults or with people, anyone. I was just with kids all the time. And, you know, kids are great. But you know, after a while, you want someone to be talking to you at some level that
yeah.
you're at.
You
so,
want three syllable words.
So yeah, so I, you know, at that time, there was no 24 hour sports radio, which God help us, has happened now. But when I first found it, I was really excited. So at that time, I listened to CBC, and I first started listening to like Peter Zosky, Morningside, and stuff like that, and those shows. They were a real revelation for me because I never listened to that stuff before. And so I was really like, oh, this is fantastic stuff. Wow, these shows are so great. I started listening to like Arthur Black because I never listened to even though Basic Black came before the Frantics, which I listened to all the time when I was a teenager, it was on too early for my teenage sleep habit, so I would set my alarm to wake me up for the Frantics. So I only heard like the end of the Basic Black show.
Me too.
Just when he, you know, they had some mnemonic device for their postal code. I can't remember now, but you know, four basements
wasn't a very good mnemonic device then.
Vacuum four basements.
Yeah.
Four attics two.
Boom! If that is what it was,
I think that's what it was. So yeah, I would listen to that and you know, and then I started like really listening to those shows, and I was like, these shows are great. I can't believe how good these shows are. I liked them so much. I even went and saw a live Basic Black.
Where?
It was in Surrey at like some sort of I think at the Bell Center thing, which was kind of fun to watch, but also was a real surprise because I assumed that these guys were like the wittiest, most charming, chatty fellows and ladies that I'd ever heard on the radio.
Yeah.
It turns out they read from scripts to each other, but it sounds so natural on the radio. And it sounded natural there, only they were looking at pieces of paper while they were talking to each other, you know. So there'd be, and, you know, he had regular guests. He had a guy who was on the show in Toronto, and Basic Black started in Toronto, then he moved here near his retirement time. He moved to BC. But so this guy was kind of like the crazy guy who was like the crazy stuff that you'd see, like mail order things or, you know, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Then there was a guy from here. He was like the crime guy. So he had the crime beat. He would talk about interesting criminals and stuff like that. And then there was, you know, just like that. They had their regular things on the show. And so I would listen to them all the time. And then, you know, and I always thought, these guys are really well-spoken. This is really great. And then it turns out it's all written out for them.
Yep.
I assume they write their own scripts, that someone else doesn't write it, but probably they vet it.
I know that
Stuart McLean, for instance, and Vicky Gabbro, who later became personalities on CBC, started as story writers or story editors on Morningside.
Oh, okay.
So...
Well, you got to, I mean, the thing about CBC Radio is it's all for time, right? So, you know, you can't just go, I'm going to generally talk about this subject, or you've got 3 minutes to talk about this crime.
Yeah.
You've really got to break it down to, like, how long will this take? Mm-hmm. Write it fucking down.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It makes sense. But, I mean, even the back and forth between them was written. It's really, yeah.
When they do debaters, you know, they really are tight for time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we get there, there's so much, you know, wanking around, you know, and they record at least twice as much as they're going to use. And then tighten it all down and what have you. And it's not my favorite way to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the super tightness.
Like, yeah.
If we had listened to this up, we'd all be fine. Well, I understand. I understand the reasons.
Yeah, but I feel like I started listening to CBC just as like its last great gasp as a radio station. Because now it's like a pile of garbage. But in those days, I mean, I think there's still some good stuff on like Saturday mornings.
Yeah,
the Irrelevant Show, obviously,
saying,
is one.
I work for
Terry O'Reilly's. I know. But
is he still doing his thing?
I think he is. The age of.
I listen to the podcast. Persuasion, that, but I do like.
I think it still is on CBC. But there's other ones too. There's a medical one that's quite interesting, and you know, there's still some stuff that it's okay. But I don't listen to it because I used to work in a parking lot, so I would play it while I was doing the crossword or whatever, you know.
Do they still do radio dramas?
That I don't know, because they used to do like a mystery thing on Saturdays. And I feel like when they stopped
doing... That was the first paying showbiz job I kind of had was a CBC radio play.
Yeah, they used to have like a Saturday evening. And the other problem, of course, and it's the same in probably in BBC as well, I guess, because, you know, they do like a half-hour show, like, so you hear it, like the mystery thing. And then you hear it like later in the week, it's on again in the afternoon on a, you know, and you're just... I already heard this. Why do I want to hear it again? Like, don't other listeners feel the same way? Like,
yeah, I never.
Why am I?
As much as, you know, I work for CBC, I only listen to it in podcast form. I only listen to it, you know, when I want to on the, you know, download. That's how I listen to BBC as well.
Yeah.
You know, people say, yeah, it just came out. Did it? Oh, okay. Well, I'll listen to it, you know, later when I listen to it. And, you know, people say, I just heard you on the radio or something you did on the radio. It's like, oh, that's cool. And I had no idea that it airs on a Saturday or airs on a Wednesday. I've got no clue until people mention that to me.
The Vinyl Cafe was kind of a painful show, though, for me, because it played a lot of music I don't like.
Mm.
Like a lot of kind of Canadian people playing blues music or kind of folk stuff like that, which doesn't really appeal to me, that kind of very uninspired,
right,
you know, kind of folk music.
Did you
whatever.
Like Seth's covers for their albums?
Oh, yeah. He did the book covers as well for Stuart McLean's collections. Yeah, I thought they were good. But what was best about it was when Stuart McLean would then step up to the mic and start telling his stories of Dave and I can't remember his wife's name or his, but it's Dave who owned the record store that the Vinyl Cafe is in the stories.
Oh, okay.
It's like a used record store that he runs in Toronto or wherever they lived. Somewhere, everything's Toronto in Canada, so it's somewhere back.
I'm ignorant to this. Are these true stories or made up?
No, they're made up stories. Okay. And so, but he just created this whole world of these two, these husband and wife,
yep,
and their daughter. And I think there may have been a son, and I'm sorry, it's been a while since I listened to the shows. But I have to say, like, some of the stories were, like, just laugh out loud great. Like, just so good. Kind of like a Garrison Keillor kind of a thing, where you have that kind of folksy guy who can just sort of tell a great story and kind of lull you into it. And yeah, and there's one great one where he had a couple of great Christmas ones. One was a Christmas one where Dave has said he's going to cook the turkey. And then as he starts to prepare all this, he discovers that he can't cook a turkey. He has no idea. So he takes the turkey, rents a hotel room in, like, a big fancy hotel in Toronto, has them make the turkey for him. Like, he gives them the turkey, has them cook it, brought it up to his room, then he packs everything up and takes it home. It's a great story. And there's another Christmas one where, and it's got some great name, but basically it's about, I wish I could remember the wife's name. I almost popped into my head there, but she's at this woman's house, and this woman's a very fancy lady, likes to lord it over you a little bit. And so she tells this woman to take the leek bowl and put it into the adult area, and this other bowl, and put it downstairs for the kids, the punch bowl. And so she will not admit that she doesn't know what a leek bowl is. So she accidentally puts the adult bowl into the playroom downstairs, in the rec room downstairs. So then later they go downstairs, and the kids are drunk, gathered around the piano, having a sing-along. Is this a great image, like a great tableau of a bunch of kids drunkenly leaning against a piano, singing away? So, you know, he had some great stories. There's one of Dave trying to quit smoking. And I guess in his younger years, he was a roadie. Mm-hmm. And so it's this great story of him. He decides he's going to quit smoking. And the way he does it is to walk. And so he walks from some small town in Ontario back to where he lived. And that was how he quit smoking. He just went on this long, week-long trek.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it's a really good story. It kind of takes you on this sort of travelogue, but also has his own thoughts and stuff. He was really good. I really have to say that if anyone out there thinks these stories sound interesting, Stuart McLean, McLean. And they're and the stories, Vinyl Cafe, and they're like stories from the Vinyl Cafe, and they're available in book form, and you can, you know, grow up with their family, Dave, and oh man, his wife's name is right on the tip of my head. But their kids growing up and going to college or university and their adventures there and stuff. It just kept going and going. It was really, it was quite interesting.
Neat. Okay.
But I had to sit through all the music I didn't like to get to that. But they were so good that I was willing to do that, you know, just to.
It's the nice thing about podcasts. You just skip ahead.
I guess so.
Skip.
Yeah,
just
I imagine.
Like I do with every commercial.
I guess they're there.
Skip.
Yeah,
and they probably are on podcasts.
They probably, the Vinyl Cafe probably is available.
Look up the CBC podcast.
I will start to.
And listen to some Irrelevant Show while you're there as well. Why not?
That's right.
Yeah. But I'm sorry to hear about his passing. And the CBC was just packed with people talking about how much they loved his work.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much he meant to them. And,
yeah. I had
interviews with him and Peter Zowski and what have you.
I was driving home last night and I was listening to Sports Talk Radio, but I have to admit, I'm kind of really over that now. Like, I'm done with it.
Do you know what it feels like to me when you're talking about, like, 24-hour sports radio? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It feels like if you found out, hey, there's a 24-hour buffet opening down your street, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, that's great. Oh,
wow, yeah.
I could get buffet food whenever mm-hmm. I want.
Yeah.
Cut to a year later. Want to go to the buffet? Ugh. Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe. Well, it's partly that. It's partly that, you know, I mean, you have to be good to be entertaining. That's a fact. Like, you can...
Or have a podcast.
Well, yeah, I'm not including us in this, obviously. But I mean, if you're going to have a show, like a year-long, like an everyday show, you got to put the work into it. You know, if you're just going to keep repeating old hits, you know, and after a while it gets dull, you know, like after a while it just feels like you're listening to the same thing. And what I really dislike are when someone in a talk radio format, they'll find some current thing, like just for an example, during the Winter Olympics, it was discovered outrageously that we weren't lighting the Olympic flame here in Vancouver. My goodness, I think we should spend 3 hours talking about this all afternoon. What do you think of that, Dave? At work, listening to the radio? How would you like to hear that for 3 hours? Well, we're going to give it to you. 3 hours of people phoning in. And also, I hate phone-in segments.
Yeah.
But we're really going to open the phones now. What do you think of this? Oh, come on.
Person who doesn't know how to talk professionally?
Yeah. Let's hear what you have to say on your cell phone so you get the great quality of the...
By the way.
Yeah.
Please do send in your stories to Sneaky
Dragon. Oh, yeah, please do.
Even though Dave apparently doesn't like it when...
It's a little different.
It's a different situation.
It's a different situation. There's a difference between a phone in and a different...
You're
between
absolutely
what you're
correct.
Doing.
I was just making, pulling fun.
But yeah, that kills
me. You know why? Because it's fucking faux controversy.
There's a show that a lot of people...
That's what 24-hour networks need is faux controversy. And then when they actually get real controversy, they're like, yeah! It's too much actual controversy. We don't know what to do.
It's too much. There's a sports... I haven't listened to the show in a long time, but I used to listen all the time to the Jim Rome show.
Okay.
A lot of people don't like that show. Like, if you say to them, oh, I like the Jim Rome show, they're like, what? The guy doesn't talk? Like, he has all these long silences? Yeah, it's a good show. But what I liked about it was filtered, you know, and his thing was, if you're not contributing, you're not going to be on the show. I can do the show by myself just fine. I don't need you to do a good show. I can do a good show all on my own. I'm inviting you to participate, but if you're going to give me junk, then that's enough with you. So it was great. Like, he'd cut off callers in the middle of their talk or whatever because it was boring or because, you know, it wasn't going anywhere or whatever reason, you know. And I liked that. It was the same when I was in college. I loved – my favorite professor was one who, like, artfully picked the people in the class who were good at talking mm-hmm. and having discussions. And he would use those people in order to have good discussions in class. And people who weren't good at talking, he did not call on. And it was nice. I took a philosophy class with a teacher with exactly the opposite viewpoint, which was that everyone should talk. And the problem with that is that then you end up with one person who talks all the time because they're the loudest person and they like to talk. They have nothing to say, but they'll talk. They'll tell you everything that they don't know for a long time. That class was murder. Murder.
Why that's making me laugh right now is I worked with, and no one will know who this is, but I worked with an improv company recently, and it is survival of the loudest in that group. Oh my God. It's just a constant loudness.
Okay.
It's just all yelling. It's just all goddamn yelling. And no one pushing a scene along. No one moving the plot along. Not a fucking, it's just like people going to play a football game and just yelling at the football, hoping I'll make it move. And it's like, you can pick it up. Just pick it up. Pick up the football. Throw it to the other person. Okay, you picked it up. Yay. Now you're just yelling at it some more.
So do you mean like each person has their own scene that they're doing that's unrelated to the other people in the scene?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I did a show this week, and I got asked at the last second to do it. And I was like, and they said, we need somebody. I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it was some friends from out of town.
Okay.
And again, let's not find out who they are. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're all good people, and everyone's fine.
Yeah.
And it was at an anime festival. Now, this is always weird to me, because it's a lot of young people wearing sexy outfits.
Okay.
Weird. A little bit to me, like a little off-putting.
Do you mean it's weird that they're wearing sexy outfits, or weird that you're there performing to people wearing sexy outfits?
No, it's fine. I'm an entertainer. It's fine for me to be there. But it's like, you know, they're of such a youthful thing that I'm like, I don't. There's nowhere good for my eyes to be.
Yeah,
besides straight at the ceiling, and I'm just gonna walk, you know,
into people.
There's nowhere that my eyes could be that I just don't go creep. It's like, okay, so so that's one thing.
I'm dressed as an ogler.
Yeah, it also feels. It also feels weird because I think it feels like when regular people go to Comic-Con a little bit and it's like, oh, I don't know any of these things. Mm-hmm. I know some of, but Ghostbusters, I know. Who's that? Oh, what is that? I don't know what this is.
Sure,
okay,
sure.
Anyway. So we're doing the show and the scene is we're going to do a lost episode of an anime series.
Yeah.
So they get one and I don't know it. Obviously, and we're doing, and it's like, okay, well, maybe you want to explain it, and they don't really explain it. It's like, oh, well, why am I here? What am I doing? This is a fucking actor's nightmare. And then they went, okay, how we're going to do it is, we're going to have like, we're going to round robin, meaning we'll do the scene, but like two people will be in, and then one person will leave, and another person will come in, but you each do it for like about a minute, and then you move the scene along. Oh, okay, I guess so. But I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go in and I'm getting loud. But every time I'm on with another person, they just get really loud because I'm getting some laughs. So they got to turn up the volume. And I'm like, I still don't know what you're doing. And are we moving the plot? What's happening? So I just did crazy characters and just made it through to the other side. It was all right. But it's just these really basic things of improv got learned.
I wish I saw that.
Oh, my gosh.
There's nothing better, to be honest with you. I think because I know you, and so I can read your body language and your facial expressions. There's nothing better than you being trapped in a scene you're not enjoying.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, but like...
I'm just thinking of that moving body scene you did.
Oh, which one are you talking about? I've been in so many that I hate. Was this in Seattle?
Yeah, in Seattle.
Oh, that was the worst one.
I know. It was great.
Again.
It was so good.
But bless people who are from Seattle, and they're fine improvisers, but they were the worst.
They weren't very helpful.
They were not helpful at all. Like, the idea behind the scene is, you know, you've got to, like, keep picking people up because they're dead bodies.
Yeah.
And so they slowly start to fall to the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm in the scene. I'm trying to help them all stand up.
Yeah,
But you fake it, brother. You don't put your full weight into it.
You're not actually dead.
Right. And I'm a larger fella, but not compared to Americans. And they just kept, like, putting their full weight. And I was like, dude, I can't literally lift you.
That was great.
I'm carrying you plot-wise, and I'm carrying you physically. I can do one of these things, perhaps.
It was
but I can't do both.
That's one of my prize memories.
Oh, my gosh. By the end of that, I was just soaked in sweat.
I know.
And they came off.
I did feel sorry for you, but at the same time, it was...
No, it's fine.
It was good.
No. Part of it is doing those.
Because you were reacting to it as well, so it made it
priceless.
Oh, yeah.
Like, about halfway through, I just went... Fuck this noise. I'm just going to, like, let the audience know how I feel completely. And I start selling out everybody on stage. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, that's something good. I do tend to do if I'm getting no support on stage. Is just go, okay, well, if we're not helping each other, then we're all in this on our own. Here we go.
Yeah.
And I did a little of that at this show, too. But I it was more, you know, they would be doing a lot of big, elaborate setups.
Mm-hmm.
But just they're so artificial, you know, and so, you know, no connection with the audience at all.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, turned to the audience and just talk directly to them and get an enormous laugh, which made them mad because it threw off their, you know, circus pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, there's people right in front of you. You don't have to be Ringling Brothers. Oh, it was awful. But there was one, like, saving grace, thank God. It was like, okay, so we do the first one. I'm like, I don't know how that went, but they seemed to like it. And then the second one is like, all right, so what are we going to do? And this was one that they had thought they were going to get. And it was, I forget the name of it, but it's a homoerotic ice skating anime that's very popular.
Okay.
And it's one of these where the boys love each other and kiss, but that's it. It's just that kind of thing that the girls like because they like the kind of boys are kissing. Oh, my. So it's like, okay, there's that. So I'm like, all right, I don't know what the fuck we're doing with it. And so they asked for a different sport, and they were, like, getting a whole bunch of them. And then, you know, at one point, someone in the back yells curling, and I just and they were just still going through them all. And I just went, curling, yes! Because there's jokes with curling.
Yeah.
It's great. It's on ice.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes in your head. It's like, I've got that gag loaded away. All right, I'm two steps up the fucking ladder.
Hard as a rock.
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Get your rocks off. So many things. Hurry hard. Yeah. You know, faster. So many things. You can do sweep.
Yeah.
So we do the thing. And then they're, okay, well, now we're going to determine who gets what character.
Oh,
okay, all right.
What?
So they go through all of us and we all get a character. And then, like, okay, now we're going to mix them up. What? Now we're all mixing up. So what's that mean? Then we get a different character instead. Well, what we just
why did we assign
what's
characters?
It matter? None of that fucking makes a lick of sense. But one of the characters then they meant, because I didn't know who the characters were. And then they say to me, my character is a Canadian.
Mm.
He's like a Canadian in this world.
Oh,
and I'm like, fuck it, done. All right, need to hear no more. We should mix up one more. No, we shouldn't. I'm good. God damn it. It's hurry hard and Canadian. And I was like, good. And so, you know, my character is just the Canadian guy. I was like, oh, geez. Oh, what a homoerotic curling bon spiel this is. I don't believe it. Okay, well, I better hurry hard. Oh, there we go. Oh, geez, I dropped my poutine, eh? Like, fine, fuck. Just like that, that was me for the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as it was done, I am on the SkyTrain so fast. Like a bullet out of that fucking place.
Nice.
Lord.
That's good. That's some good stuff. Well, sorry I missed it because that would have been classic.
By the way, if you like comedy, let me throw a recommendation out for CNN's History of Comedy.
Oh, okay.
Which has a fella I know, Clef Nesteroff,
okay,
who's a big part of it. And he's kind of the historian. He's the guy who sits there in the Norman Lear type hat.
And who's speaking for Trump in this panel discussion?
No one is speaking for him.
I'm sorry. When I heard CNN, I thought they'll have someone there.
It's the big relief from that.
Okay. Yeah.
And so last week's show was about controversial comedians. So they had George Carlin. And they actually played clips from Red Fox's party albums.
Oh, neat.
Which was like, wow.
Yeah.
Which was nice because Cliff has written a lot about that. So seeing that as like a CNN thing, it's like, wow, it's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And, you know, they kind of break down, you know, what's offensive, what's not, what's this, what's that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember the guy's
Rusty,
name.
Rusty Warren, did they have her as part of that?
No, they did not have her. They might have shown just one of her albums as like party albums.
Knockers Up.
But yeah, the Red Fox thing was kind of showing how it was very popular in the black community.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of, you know,
Those party albums, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people who've never heard of these before, mm-hmm. and it was just great, like, oh, that's mm-hmm. fantastic.
There
was
yeah, in his book, he's got like a full page of different albums by all these people that you haven't heard of, and, you know, and probably won't, and especially for us living in Canada, like, we don't have a huge black population here, so that sort of culture never yeah. really crossed the border to here. So.
And this week's is Women in Comedy. And you think, like, oh, that's, if it was normally like a CNN's Women in Comedy, you go, yeah, that'll be fine. Mm. That'll be fine. We'll get Sarah Silverman. We'll get Jean Garofalo. Get a little bit of maybe Phil Steele. But because I think, like, of Cliff's involvement, you're going to get a little bit more
yeah,
deep
we'll
cuts,
see
and
some...
it'll be interesting.
That does sound interesting, because I wish I could remember her name now, but she's like a 50s comedian, because those days they were comedians with E, mm-hmm. double N-E after their name. And she's sort of like the first stand-up comic. Before
Phil Steele,
you know who I mean,
this,
right?
Yeah,
I've never seen her act, and so
did you read about her through Cliff as well?
Through Cliff as well, yeah. And I think I'd heard her name before, but reading it in his book, I was much more interested. But I know I probably could YouTube.
I will. I would be very surprised if she doesn't get mentioned in this show.
Yeah, especially someone who is that much as a pioneer of. You know, I'm sure a lot of her stuff was like My Husband and, you know, I'm a Housewife and da da da. But
even something like in sitcoms with the Goldbergs, you know, I forget the name of the woman who was behind that, but that was like one of the very first sitcoms that kind of laid the pipe down for almost every family sitcom that ever came. And it's not connected to the Goldbergs today.
Oh, okay. Oh,
show.
I'm sorry.
But
I was thinking
it was a show.
Wait, what?
No, it was a show in the 50s. It
okay.
was one of the very first sitcoms.
I see.
And it kind of came from the old radio show. And it was a Jewish woman and her family. And it was
yeah.
kind of ethnic humor, but it was also family humor.
Sure.
And yeah, it was one. It just really did. These are the things that a family sitcom will be.
Yeah.
And she was the first one doing it.
Oh,
and there it is.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get along and you go to Lucy and you get like, and here's how you do this kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
here's how you build your media empire off of that. And I like Star Trek. Let's put it on the air and what have you. But yeah, it's a good series. They're showing it censored now. It'll be on Netflix next year, uncensored. And probably they'll sell it in the meantime on DVD or in some form, uncensored as well.
Interesting.
But they still had Red Fox doing Women Gotta Wash Their Ass.
Mm.
And they're like, this is on CNN. What
yeah.
the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, historically, yes, indeed. You gotta play that.
It's in context, everyone.
It completely was in context.
Fine.
But I think for people who, you know Red Fox just from Sanford and Son, it's like, what the what?
Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Did you ever swear at the kitchen table? But you made sure before you swore that you said, before I swear, this is in context. Did you ever do that? I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I would always say that. Like, I was telling a story about some guy.
Oh, okay. So you
who I thought was a
like,
dummy.
You wouldn't just, like, hit your thumb with a hammer.
Oh,
go,
no.
Now, everybody, this is in context.
No, that's what I mean.
Fuck.
No, I'd be talking about, like, a story about someone.
Yeah.
I guess I remember this guy, and he said to me, fucking rights. And he sounded so dumb, and I thought it was so funny. This is the first time I ever heard someone say fucking rights, or fucking right, or whatever. And so I was telling my parents about it, and I said, okay, I'm going to swear, but it's in context. It's in context. So yeah, you never said that. You made like this legalism at the table where you get very lawyerly.
Nope,
I put on like a barrister's wig, and
I just wouldn't swear.
This is
it would not fly.
Oh, is that right? You would
no.
get in big trouble.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No,
there was no debate at the
I felt
table.
Like
there
it
was no context.
Oh really?
No. Maybe if I was in the car with Dad later. Mm. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm at the family with my little sisters and that.
Yeah.
No.
Interesting.
You wash that mouth out with bleach on it.
Now, did you ever get your mouth? Did you ever get your? Did you ever have to get your mouth washed?
I'll tell you. Once upon a time in school, yes.
Okay.
But school. I'm just going to say what adults said at the time. Guess what adults said when they were about to swear that would make the swearing okay. They would say something beforehand. It wasn't to mind the context. It was something else.
What would they say?
It was always this.
Mind my French or pardon my French?
Pardon my French.
Pardon my French. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a weird.
Which was also not a great sitcom that was on Canadian TV.
Then they would say le fuck. That's right. Jesus le Christ.
And speaking of French, it was in French Catholic school, and the nuns did whip out a little bit of soap at one point.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's a bit different, yes, because private schools could have corporal punishment when we were kids. I was probably one of the last children in Canada to get spanked in school, because I was just... This it came in just as it was being phased out.
What did you get spanked for?
What was my transgression? This was in kindergarten, and I was continually tardy. Because I like to cut through the park to get to school, which I wasn't supposed to do, actually.
Okay.
But I would constantly cut through the public park that was bordered our school. And Or I would see workmen.
So were you spanked for the lateness or the danger?
Lateness. They didn't know where I was to be. I would never tell my mom that I was cutting through the park. I wasn't allowed to go in there
right.
as a kid. But then I would cut through it anyway because it was fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun in a park.
Absolutely.
There's,
I will agree.
There's ferns. You can knock their heads off with a stick. And
yeah, I remember like in elementary school, teachers and junior high school too, talking about the good old days.
Yes.
When they were able to use a strap and all sorts of business.
Do you think that was I think if I was a teacher and I was thinking back to the time, I'd be like, that was a lot of extra work. I didn't need that. Like, did it really solve anything or help? No.
Oh, no, of course it didn't.
Might make you feel better.
Would it?
I remember one time.
If it makes you feel better to hit a kid with a strap, don't be a teacher.
Don't be a teacher.
Yeah.
I remember one time in, this would be maybe grade 8, grade 9, a teacher getting so mad at a student that he picked up his desk with the student in it and dragged it out of the classroom into the hallway.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Because that's not touching. That's
no, good. I guess that's fine.
Yeah, that's
good. Touching the desk. But
yeah, that's all right. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
How do you like this?
Yeah.
No, that's all right. I was the week before last, we had Pia on, and she had her kind of like famous editorial cartoon that took the country by storm and really changed everything. If you're like, why Trump meltdown today? It was the cartoon. Set him off. But one of my old social studies teachers,
yes, that's right,
mentioned
Mr. Moser,
mentioned me and, you know, my wife and what have you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of neat that, you know, he yes, came right. on Facebook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of like, oh, yeah, I remember like going to social studies class. It was a good social studies class. And then the other guy, I think we might have brought him up on the show before, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to say his name, but he was across the way, and he would have the golf club.
Yes,
and
very
walk
strict.
Around and whack it down on a table. Mm-hmm. And we would.
It's problematic.
He would debate. He would debate the kids, and he would debate me a lot.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to say to him, oh, by the way, while you were debating me, a kid behind me was kicking me in the back, which really, I think, it gives the advantage to you. One, you're an adult.
With a golf club.
I'm an adult with a golf club.
Yeah.
I'm a dumb fucking kid mm-hmm. who's in grade 8. And I've got a goon behind me
yeah.
who's booting me in the spine
sure.
while we're having this discussion. Maybe it helped me later on with debating, you know, that I didn't have the boot to the back, you know. But also, by the way, how did you not notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Even with your fucking one eye that goes sideways. And that's not his fault.
No, no.
It's not his fault.
But it made it difficult,
least,
didn't it?
You've got at least one fucking good eye.
Yeah.
Notice that someone's kicking me in the back.
The problem, okay.
Also, I don't need to hear about your herpes, and I know he's got herpes. Do I need to know that?
I don't
as a kid.
I don't want to criticize someone for having a lazy eye.
No.
But if you have a lazy eye,
let us know which one.
And you
going.
Carry a golf club
yeah.
that you smack on kids' desks.
Yeah.
Make sure it's clear who you're talking to when you're asking questions.
Yeah.
Because you think, is he looking at me or is he looking at him? I don't. So then you'd be like scared, like you didn't want to get the golf club smashed on your
yeah.
desk. Yeah. He was very strict. What's weird is like.
Also, by the way,
mm-hmm.
glasses will fix that. Put some fucking glasses on and fix that shit. You can.
He was like my first experience of what I like to call like a hippie fascist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy who's like hip and swinging until you're in his control and no more hip and swinging. Because he used to play guitar. Like he played the guitar.
Yeah.
He and the other social studies teacher who you mentioned.
Yeah.
They would play at lunch hour. They would play their guitars and sing a lot of like hip songs. You know,
right.
like
while the students gathered around like,
yeah. Oh, this is so good. They're so cool. And then you got in their classroom. It was like Hitler had come to town. With his golf club, my brother,
Hippieler.
I was gone by this point. But I was at senior high school. But my brother still remained, and he was in the class. And the teacher wrote down on the board one day. He wrote prejudice. Turned to the class and he said, "What two words do you see in this word?" The answer being prejudge.
Yeah.
My brother looks at it quickly and says, "Price and rice." Well, the golf club came down.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
That's the thing. He didn't clarify that it wasn't a puzzle. We weren't having a sudden thing of like,
I now want to
we're
go
playing
into like,
Boggle.
Oh, I love the idea yeah. that like, you know, all prejudice comes from the price of rice and it comes from Asia. And it's like, why do they hate each other? Well, it was about Japan and China both had different prices for rice. And that's where the root word of prejudice comes.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, no, you got it right. Oh, fuck, that's so clever. That's the kind of shit that should be rewarded.
Really?
Like, you either do one of two things. Yeah. You go, no, stupid, toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go, oh, that was a very creative way of looking at things. Yeah. And now you open a student up to other things. But
that's,
yeah.
When you're let's shut it down.
When you're hippie Hitler, no, you don't fucking do that.
That's right. Because, yeah, he wore like one of those sort of, some like a caftan, but you know, like one of those
yeah,
shirts.
Yeah, if it went farther, it'd be a muumuu.
Like a colorful
yeah,
shirt
that's
with
right.
a high collar. Like
of course he
sort
did.
Of a Nehru collar, but, you know, with a lot of designs on it and stuff like that. So you knew he was hip. white pants, sandals, always sandals. Yeah. I don't know. That's
he's
maybe how,
he's exactly what you expect when you go, like, he'll like sit on the desk with the guitar. And yeah, that's right. I remember once we were listening to the announcements of the day, and the vice principal dropped some papers and went, "Oh shit!"
Yes, I remember that too. That was a classic.
And then he
moment.
Went, "Okay, let's write a note." And so we all had to get together and wrote a note of just like, we were very offended by this. We demand an apology. And so the vice principal had to come down and like, I heard you're very offended and I would like to give a sincere apology. And we all, it was a laugh and it was fun.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that's a good,
that was the vice principal. And he was a good vice principal compared to the next one, who was such a jerk, as everyone said to me. I never had any problem with him except when I had overdue library books. Then he was a guy who would actually come and visit you in class. But he was one of those small...
If you had overdue library books?
And if he was one of those small guys that were kind of small and intense, but so, so unassuming, you know, like, you know what I mean? What I mean, right? Like, he had glasses. He was a small guy, very neatly put together, you know. And just, but had this weird kind of menacing element to
him.
But
do you want, if you're vice president, you're a vice principal, do you want to have that element of menace?
Yes.
Because I feel like all vice principals have that menace thing.
The
like,
one before him
he's
didn't.
He's the bad guy. He's the bad cop. Maybe you can, maybe, you know, the principal will like overturn his crazy decision to have you expelled forever. Yeah. But this is the guy that's going, I'll throw you out on your ass. I'll call the cops right now.
It depends on what you want. I mean,
you have a dirty locker. You're expelled, buddy.
Yeah. It depends what you want from here. But yeah, he was a really strict guy, and people did not like him at all. He was not well thought of by. But I mean, when I say not well thought of by people who would get in trouble at school.
Yeah,
they're the ones who didn't think well of him. So to be fair to him, if you just, you know, went your way through school, like I had an unfortunate beginning at school because school started earlier than elementary school, and so I was continually late my first. A few months when I started because I wanted to finish watching cartoons.
Yeah.
And so I would be late getting to homeroom. And so then I had to start spending time after school with a bunch of kids who are much older than me in detention. And so I would be sitting there reading because what else are you going to do for an hour? And then they would like make comments like, you sure read a lot. Like, these are not my people.
Yeah. What these would are not they my be people. Doing?
Just sitting there.
Because you can't talk, right?
No, you weren't allowed to talk. They would just sit there.
Wow.
I know. You wonder why life's boring.
By the way, you know, imagine that. Kids of today.
Yes.
Sitting there doing nothing for an hour.
For an hour.
Seemed no to... phone.
Yeah.
No lights. No motor cars. Not a single luxury. Okay, kids of today. You don't know the Gilligan's Island reference. I'm hep to that. You don't know you know what the word hep means either. So
you're really going off the
I'm board. Cool with that.
Sure.
You might not even think cool is the thing that. Look, anyway, what I'm saying is, that's boring. Is it the best idea to bore already bored kids that are acting out? It's like, we're going to bore you some more. For like an hour, we're going to give you a real good boring. Like, doesn't it feel like you should be like tidying some shit up or just doing something like that you could then like at the end of it go, I did that, you know, maybe something for the school, like clean something so that like, you know, then you come to school the next day and go, oh, at least I knew I cleaned the gutters. Or like gutters, it's dangerous, but you know.
We go and sweep the gravel on the roof.
You know what? I seem to remember like having to clear balls off a fucking school roof at some point.
Yeah. Well, at senior high school, there was garbage. I never did it myself. I was a much better behaved student by that point, but there was garbage patrol where you had to go out and collect all the litter on the playing fields.
That to
stuff.
Me feels better than just sitting in a room doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, a little pride in the
school. I didn't mind. I read for an hour.
No.
And I was reading, at that time I was reading Lord of the Rings, so I had a lot to.
Right, but if they wouldn't let you read, if they just went, we got to like, no reading.
Oh, no, we could read.
Okay, but if they said
that, oh,
you
yeah,
read,
that would
like,
be terrible.
We're going to take that away from
you.
Yeah, no. Because that's a pleasure. And if they knew that you were enjoying it, which they didn't think you were.
That's right.
Though I guess as a school, their point is they're trying to teach you to read. So if you're reading, you're actually just doing more school.
Yeah.
That, I guess, is sort of fair.
I guess.
Yeah.
My other run-in with him was, with the vice principal was one day at school, I had a big honking brick of firecrackers that I bought from another guy at school. Who had knew someone somewhere who had access to lots of big. So I just had a huge amount of firecrackers, like more than I could want in my life, really. Like, so someone offered me some more powerful firecrackers, some M80s or whatever, for some of my firecrackers. So I broke off part of this brick of firecrackers and gave it to him. He got caught with my firecrackers, turns me in.
Okay.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Mr. fucking guy who's more well thought of in school than I am.
Right.
You get caught, the first thing you do is turn? Like, what?
Yeah.
So then I get called to the office.
Yeah.
Well, for all my pleasant demeanor and I am not a snitch. Mm-hmm. Nor am I a person who enjoys snitches.
Right.
I just played like the world's most dumb person. Like I was just like, nope, no, that wasn't me. Didn't get them from me. Mm-hmm. Nope. I don't care what he said. So I just kept denying it. Just denial. I didn't have them with me. I didn't bring them to school. I wasn't an idiot. I brought them to school to give them to this guy. But don't carry them around and wave them in the air. Put them in your, wherever, we didn't have backpacks in those days. Put them in your pocket and get the hell out of there. Put them in your ski jacket pocket.
Yeah. Nowadays, kids from watching TV know that you've got to just pivot, turn, and change the subject. So it's like if you go like, hey, did you bring all those firecrackers to school? Well, I think what we should be talking about is the drug problem. so many kids today are not fulfilling their potential drugs.
What we should be talking about
is... the amount of balls on the roof. Have we seen the amount of balls on the roof? I mean, what's the ball budget for this school? You know, we're just throwing balls on the roof and I don't know. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
We were talking about drugs. Okay, so staff drugs, get the balls off the roof. Good talk, everybody.
Nice job. I'll be seeing you. Nice job, Kellyanne.
Yep.
Very good. Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, a better question would have been, why do the smokers get the best spot in the school all to themselves?
Because they're cool.
I guess that's
They're much cooler than you.
Yeah. That's why they're playing the theme from Taxi in the smoking area. That's how cool they were. What a time. What a time. It's so many contradictions in that time period.
It's not been the same since it changed networks. Yeah, I know.
You can.
Do you think Andy Kaufman's really like that?
Yeah.
Or do you think like he's putting on a thing? I don't know. Do you think he died of cancer? Hey, wait, speaking of cancer, should we be smoking? I don't know. Maybe we should be smoking.
This is even before Andy Kaufman was on it. Was he on like originally or did he join later on?
A little bit later on. Jeff Conway was one of the big stars.
Yeah.
And that went nowhere.
And neither did he.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's
in Greece. People still like Greece.
Yeah, like when people think when you talk to people about the '80s and they get all excited about them, I just kind of sigh and just think you weren't there, obviously. If you're excited about that time period, whoa!
All I'm excited about with the '80s is the amount of movies that I could see. Man, that was good. Mm-hmm. So many movies.
But when you watch them now, are they all that great?
Oh, it was the experience, though.
I guess.
It wasn't. You know.
I guess.
It's like watching a home movie of a great memory. It's just like, oh yeah, there it is. I can watch it, but it's not the same.
I guess.
Let me watch a videotape of a play. Mm-hmm. You had to be there, man.
Like I enjoy younger people than me's like attempt to like do 80s styles and stuff like that because they're like so not related to anything of what I saw as mm-hmm. as a kid growing up. Like to me, 80s style is really, really, really tight blue jeans.
Yeah.
A small leather jacket, mm-hmm. a black leather purse, unless you're a guy. Mm-hmm. This is women I'm describing. And then you would wear like a white blouse or something like that.
All right.
Like a blousey kind of a top. That was it. And running shoes. Usually, and when Nikes became popular, you wore your canvas Nikes with the light blue swoosh on them. For guys, what was popular to wear was, once again, really, really tight blue jeans.
Sure.
The tighter, the better.
Okay.
Any kind of t-shirt, one with a decal on it is preferred. A beer, whatever they call those, beer shirts, whatever. Yeah. Remember those kind of with the white sleeves?
Understood.
And you get like a Corvette decal on it or something like that. Or something like I'm with Stupid or, you know, or mm-hmm. I'm number two, why try harder?
Yep.
Stuff like that, right? And then
maybe get a Yosemite Sam on there.
Then you get a Mac jacket.
Sure.
Which was like a lumberman, like a plaid red plaid lumberman jacket.
Yeah.
And then you have
it's great in the rain, really soaks it up. Keeps that rain with you if you need water later.
And your hiking boots with the red shoelaces. Absolutely. This was like considered
the
apogee of style.
Absolutely.
Oh, to have that kind of I never got those things because they were all too expensive and too horrible. My mom would not let me.
I don't think the Mac jacket was that expensive. I think it was $30.
My mom was just like, no way. No way.
Yeah, I'm saying, by the way, I'm sorry about this $30 thing, $20.
Mm.
Mac jacket was about one of the cheapest things you could get.
Well, I'm sure it was, but my mom was not going to go for
that. When I think 80s, I was just so not part of that world.
Yeah.
That it was like, the 80s to me were the early part of the 80s, early first half of the 80s was pushing away from school and just going, this is bullshit. School is bullshit.
Yeah.
Push away. And just doing as many like live shows in the evening and plays and what mm-hmm. have you and doing as much writing as I could and push away.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, it was everyone's getting ready for Expo. The world's coming.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was money to do art.
Mm.
There was some money thrown around.
Yeah.
And in the first part of the 80s, I also started doing a little TV. And so it was like, oh, there's some money. Oh, there's money. And then there's more money. And that just at the same time, the comedy boom was happening.
Yeah.
Here comes more money. And so there was that lump in the middle of like, hey, this is pretty great. And then like the end of the 80s, hey, it's all going away. It's all dimmed out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're going to do anything, you better do it on your own. And so, by, 1990, I'm just like, well, I'm broke as fuck.
Yeah.
But, the 80s to me were the kind of flush times when people thought shit could happen.
But you were never wearing like green neon socks or sunglasses with the Wayfarer sunglasses.
No, because I was always wearing what was needed at the time for the thing I was doing. I was like, because I'd always be going to a rehearsal or something.
You'd be wearing your black rugby pants.
I'd be wearing, rugby pants, yeah, but blue jeans for the most part.
Blue jeans too?
Some kind of shirt, maybe from, just comes in a shirt with some kind of bullshit on it. Mm-hmm. Simple bullshit. Because if it was something that you could read, it would mean someone would stop and read my shirt, and that was just looking for a fight, right? You don't need that shit. You don't need to say more than three words, because I was like, what's that say? You don't, yeah, man, you pow. Because now we're talking, and I don't want to look like I'm queer, so I'm going to punch you. It's like, fuck, okay, I don't need that. I just need something that no one's going to get mad about until I get to, you know, my real life in the evening doing fucking shows. Because this is bullshit. I got to get away from the school.
Wow. Someone's bitter. Hey.
Nope.
We're going to, what's that, right?
Nope. I'm not bitter about it.
Not bitter?
It.
Better?
Nope. Yeah, I think better. I think I found out what worked for me, which was good.
So before we're getting pretty long in the
pretty
tooth.
Bitter about leaving the cocoon, huh, Mr. Butterfly? No, I'm fine. I'm fine flying around here. Oh, you don't like the fucking cocoon? You got fucking problems with the cocoon, huh? No, I'm good. I just was there, and now I'm left it. I'm flying around now. Yeah, okay. I think you're better than us caterpillars. No, I'm fine. Anyway, but what was the last thing?
Oh, you texted me. Nice.
Yep. I was saying, please don't mention this text on the air.
So we got an email.
Oh, yes.
From a listener.
Yes.
And so I wanted to tackle this before we go.
Sure.
Sorry
for making you listen to this whole episode before we got to your...
So this listener is asking for some advice.
Okay. Have you never heard the show? listen to... Look. Listen to the two guys you're asking advice from. Like, I guess we're two cautionary tales.
Yeah, this is right.
Like, you know, so you don't, can take what we say and then do the opposite. That's a possibility.
Don't do what I did and you will... Be pretty good.
That's
for
right.
You.
Learn from my mistakes.
Learn from my continuing, not mistakes.
That's right.
My continuing.
Absolutely.
Constant
listen to the
cycle
adventures
of
Goofus and Goofus.
So, I'll set it up here.
Okay.
I'm currently 18, soon to be 19. I'm in college, and very recently, several people in my life have told me that I should be, quote, having fun before life sets in, or something along the lines of that. Some background. These people are usually between 20 and 30 years old. And their comments weigh heavily in my mind because I'm, for lack of a better term, a square. I don't drink or smoke anything. I don't go that much. And in general, I just do my homework, go to play rehearsal if I have it, and go to bed. But I don't look down on people who do have some fun. I just never take risks in my life. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I'm beginning to worry that they're right, and I need to maybe be more adventurous. I just don't know what to do, and I have no one to talk to about this. My friends obviously think I should have more fun, and my parents are my parents. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you two give some good advice.
Okay.
Don't laugh, although it's funny. In short, should
laughing
I...
Laughing is healthy. It's a healthy response.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh more. That's my advice. That's one of the things.
That's a good thing. It is true. In short, should I have fun while I can and branch out more?
Well, okay, first of all, you know, you and I have led different lives.
We have, you're right.
But we've both come to the same room at the same day. What a coincidence.
That's strange.
Yeah.
We was this arranged?
High school and it all just went, yeah.
Was this prearranged?
No matter what happens, you will end up in this fucking room.
That's
the one thing I'm going to let you know. Okay. Do you want to take first stab at this, or do you?
You wrote something down, so you.
Okay.
You obviously have thoughts about it, because my feeling. Okay.
Well, let me just say the first thing: people who are 20 and 21 giving you life advice.
Yeah.
No.
That's right.
They're dumb.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, look, they've lived a little smacking in more than you, and that's fair enough.
A smattering.
No, smacking in. They've been smacked around by life, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, everyone thinks that their life is basically the life that, you know, you should give advice on.
Yeah.
And I guess okay. So I just want
to
a couple of real basic things just off the get go, and then we can get more into detail.
Okay.
One, the 20-year-olds don't fucking know what they're talking about.
No, that's
they're
true.
Just telling you what they know. There's a 30-year-old who's looking at that 20-year-old going, "What?" And that 30-year-old will be them in 10 years.
Yes.
Okay. Also, the idea that you've got to do all your fun now because later you're not going to have fun. I'll tell you, I'm pushing 50. I turned 50 this year. I'm still having fun.
Yeah.
I'm still doing stuff that I enjoy. There's no end to that fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if they're saying do this before the responsibilities of life set in while you're all loosey goosey, that's a little bit of a different situation. And I think Dave, you've had more of the traditional responsibilities of life in your life than I have.
Yeah.
Whereas I kind of find in my own path as things go on.
Yeah.
So let me throw this back over to you.
Well, yeah, I'm going to agree with you that when you're 18 or 19 or 20 or 21, you don't realize how much of a great part of your life is coming. Like the idea that you have to have all your adventures in this short amount of time before you turn 25 or something like that. Like, it makes no sense. You are having an adventure right now. You're going to university or you're going to college. That is your current adventure. That is an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, so that is what you're doing right now. That is your adventure. And you're going to get out of it what you want from it. If your friends don't give you the confidence to be adventurous with them, then don't be adventurous with them. You're not required to go on adventures with them. If that what they're doing is not of interest to you, then, you know, like sometimes in your life, it'll take you a while to find a group of people that match you in some way and give you that confidence to take bigger steps in your life. And those might not be the friends you have now. It might be a different group of friends that you meet. You might start a job when you finish school and you're going to meet people there at that job. You're going to find a family at this new job. And those people may be the ones that give you a step to help you make steps towards this adventure or whatever you think it is that you want. Sometimes when you ask these questions too, you in your mind, you're thinking, I need permission to have adventure. You know, like I want adventure, but maybe I'm not, maybe I think it's wrong or I need someone's permission to do it. And that to me in that instance, if your adventure seems not right to you or for you, then it's not really an adventure that you want to take or that you should want to take. You know, and that's someone, speaking of someone, I have never smoked. I have never drank. In my whole entire life, I've had like a sip of Southern Comfort with 7-Up, which I thought tasted like cough syrup and did not interest me that much. I've never smoked drugs. I've never taken any drugs at all. I've had a great life. I've had a wonderful life. I would, you know, despite,
you
know.
Would you say you've had an adventure?
I've had an adventurous life. Yeah. I mean, I've done.
I would say so too. Absolutely.
I've done lots of things that.
You've traveled around the world.
I've traveled around the world. I worked at a fishing boat. I went to Alberta, sold encyclopedias door to door. Those were all stupid mistakes that I made. I had cancer. That was an adventure. I'm lucky I returned from that adventure. But
we would advise you not to have cancer.
I advise you not to have cancer. But if you do, if someone out there is going through that adventure, it's an adventure. Whatever the outcome of your adventures in your life, there are adventures. So I feel like, you know, it's this split between what people think is adventure and what is actually adventure too, I think is different. You start now, you talk.
Okay. There's nothing harder than you start now, you talk, go.
Interrupt me then.
You know, there's, you know, you could have a bunch of adventures now, and that's fine. And you could go, you know, I don't know what that means. Go bum around Europe for, you know, a couple of months to a year or what have you. I mean, that's a thing, and that's a thing you could do. But there's another thing too, if like you're passionate about something where you're going to get obsessed about what you're doing for periods of time. You know, I got obsessed with comics and I was just making more and more comics. And I look probably to the outside world like a real introvert, but I was like playing around in my own head with my own work.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with musicians, you know, you're going to be spending a lot of time, you know, doing what you're doing. If you're an actor, you're going to spend a lot of time rehearsing. You're going to be a writer writing, you know, whatever it is, you know, and that's a bit of an adventure too, even though it looks like you're just focusing all your energy on something, if that will pay off over time as well. I mean, there's always going to be a part of you going, am I missing out? You know, if you're at home and you're rehearsing, you know, or you know, rehearsing with your guitar or what have you, or writing, it's like, am I missing out on something? Is there something out there? And maybe you are. You can't do everything. That is true. You know, and over time, you're going to find out the things that you love to do, and you're not going to know them necessarily when you're 18.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna fall in love with a whole bunch of different. You're gonna fall in love with a bunch of different people, but you're also gonna fall in love with a whole bunch of different things and elements of life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that I do now that I would never have thought about doing when I was 18.
Yeah.
And my life would be much the worse if I had everything that I wanted when I was 18 now. That would have been such a limiting thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I think living your life based on fear is not great. And that feels like a fear-based way of going about things. It's like, should I do everything now? Should I you know, pack all the living in now? Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like you're saying, because the darkness is coming. Because the snow globe can only be shaken now, and then all the snow will have fallen, and it will never go flying up in the air again. And I'm just saying, that snow goes up through your life. And through your life, and you never stop having adventures, and you never stop living. Be open to things. Yeah. Be open to love. Be open to new experiences. But definitely, you know, and maybe even your boundaries will get pushed a little bit, and maybe you will decide to try something that you're not doing now later. Or you know, I used to not drink, and now I drink, but I don't drink to excess. But you know, you do. You know, things change, and just be open to that, and that's okay. I think here's the thing: it's just like, take people's advice for who they are. Everyone's got a bunch of different advice.
He means listen to him.
Sure. But also listen to Dave. But also listen to your friends. Yeah. But also listen to your parents. And then when you
also listen to yourself.
That's right. And when you've all taken all that in, you know, you're going to have to just play it by ear. Because also life's going to come along and it will take you in some directions you don't expect. Whether it is something like cancer. Or it is something like something will happen globally. Well, some other shit will happen in your life that will push you in a different direction than you expected. Yeah. No one leads an expected life.
No, that's right.
You know?
And do you want to?
No, let's see, what a snooze.
If you had asked me a month before, I dropped my keys. If you...
Dave just pooped out a set of keys.
I just pooped out a set of keys. If you asked me a month before Mary came along, I don't mean born, but just we knew that she was happening. If you'd asked me, Dave, do you want kids? I would have said, no, I don't want kids. I'm a free and grooving guy. I'm doing my thing. But, you know, this unexpected change in my life was like the greatest life changing, life-saving thing that happened to me, having kids, you know, and that was not planned or expected. That was something that happened because we didn't even know it could happen. And then it happened. So that we had to, you know, and that changed our lives, but in no way in a negative way, you know, it made our life different in a, you know, in an excitingly new different way. So yeah, you can't predict it, and you can't, you know, I can maybe say, you know, say yes to, I don't know, say yes to possibility, say yes to, but I mean, what, like the idea that you need to live other people's expected lives or their idea of adventure.
Also this generic idea of adventure, whatever that is.
Are you going to go ice climbing? That's insane. Don't climb on ice. I was watching that on video today.
I mean, my advice life-wise, and this just is what works for me, is do try to step away from the environment that you're in now every so often to get a different perspective, whatever that means. Mm. Whether that means working with different, you sound like you were working on something theatrical, you know, work with a different company or work with different people, or if you can travel a little bit, you know, not necessarily to London to see a show, but like somewhere, you know, go see some shows that you would not normally see, or, you know, if there's a fringe festival in town, see some stuff. Do what it takes to wake your brain up every so often, but then you can come back to your place of comfort, and that's fine. You don't have to, you know, now I'm going to take peyote. See, I'm even saying it wrong, peyote, you know, and, you know, go tripping balls, you know, and like, oh, I've had that adventure.
Yeah, go to Burning Man.
You know, you don't need to go eat, pray, love, you know. You're going to live your own life, and there's tons of good and tons of excitement and tons of adventure that will come along down the road. Don't worry about it. And, you know, advice from 20-year-olds, grain of salt.
Advice from 50-year-olds, grain of salt.
Absolutely. You know, you should take advice from Kirk Douglas. That guy's 100. He knows what's what.
He knows what's what.
He's lived a pretty good life. He outlived all the other Spartacuses.
He did.
Yep.
Yes,
when he goes to the Spartacus reunion con, it is a sad thing.
I am Spartacus. Yes, you are. You're the one.
I don't know if that helps. You know, but that's kind of our. But listen, we're both rooting for you. Let's go with that.
We're rooting for you.
Yeah, you got two people in your corner at the very least, and that's us. But we will not lend you money. I'll just say that much. In case you were thinking that's the next stop. It's like, oh, could I get some money to go to? No, you can't. Though you can enter our White Spot contest if you're in Vancouver. We will probably buy you a burger. So we'll do that. Unless you're vegetarian, in which case they have a veggie burger there.
They do have a veggie burger, yes. They have vegetarian options.
Fuck, that place should be sponsoring us. We're dropping their name. Ridiculous.
I know. Even my title card last week was related.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, thank you so much for your letter. Hope that works for you in some capacity. We don't know.
We're just a couple of guys. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a counselor. Nope. I don't know any of these things.
No, nope. You're just a podcaster.
I'm just
and
a podcaster.
And nowadays, that means more. That's who's got the power.
That is the saddest thing I think we said today.
If you want to write to us, you can ask us advice. I don't know if you want to do that.
I'm eating another syrupy thing.
Which flavor?
I think it's cherry.
See? I mean, look at the guy. This guy you're taking advice from? He's putting that crap in his mouth? If you want to write to us, we have a message board at sneakydragon.com. That's where our message boards are. Every one of our episodes is up there. A title card from Dave is up there. So is a delightful bit of art.
This is terrible.
And then what?
This is terrible.
Oh, I thought you said your art is terrible.
No, it's great. This is terrible.
Oh, okay. The snack. You can write to us underneath there and give us your thoughts on the show. By the way, on that same page, if you want to get a t-shirt with almost any of the art that Dave does, you can request a shirt and get one made up.
That's true.
That. The White Spot one, I may want to get a shirt made up, like a green shirt. I think that would be a nice one.
Okay.
Because it's green, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice. So Facebook is also where we're at. You can write to us on there. You can write to us at our email, which is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. We are also, as we said earlier, on Twitter at @sneaky_dragon and Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. And we do, in every capacity, love to hear from you. We have our contests. Send us your name if you want to go to White Spot with us. We'll draw one in the future. You know, it's a pretty vague contest.
It is.
If you want to tell us a story about the one that got away, whatever that means, could be a fish, could be a job, could be something else that happened to you in life.
Sure.
Keep it 2 minutes or less if you can. Drop us on any of those ways of communication that we just mentioned. And Dave will try to put some music behind it. And we'll spruce it up.
I'll soundtrack.
We'll see where it goes from there. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap up this week's show?
Oh, two things.
Oh, God.
Two things.
Okay. All right.
Two things.
One, make them 5 minutes because I got to go drug a cat.
One I've forgotten.
Okay, go.
The other one is we were talking about The Hateful Eight. And I forgot to say this when we were talking about this film.
But Hateful Eight, you're pretty late.
Yeah, I know.
Hope this bit must be great.
It's not a bit, but when I was watching it, it kept taking me out of the film because, okay, you know, in the film, the door is damaged, so they have to hammer it closed.
Okay.
None of them could use a hammer. None of the actors knew how to hammer. So I'm watching these people who are supposedly like people in the Old West doing a lot of manual work and stuff like that, all holding the hammer almost underneath the head of the hammer, banging away as fast as they can because they're getting no leverage. Because when you hold a hammer, you hold it at the bottom of the hammer, not at the top, not in the middle, the bottom. That is where your leverage is, folks. That's how you hammer. That's how you hammer.
Okay, everybody. So that's thing one, is that's how you hammer. By the way, if Dave was really thinking, that would have been a good thing to have at the beginning of the show when we're talking about hammering. Remember? We said hammering at the beginning of the show.
I remember that.
That's when that would have smoothly transitioned when all the hammering was going on.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been smooth podcasting and we would have been fine. Last thing,
about
go.
I can't remember what it was. We'll talk about it next week. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Next week, we'll be talking about procrastination. I've been even Boothby. And he's been Odd Dedrick. Thanks for listening. Bye.